Are you searching for the best in online black radio? Then go to blacktalkradionetwork.com, helping you filter through the noise. Real talk, black talk.
The coronavirus outbreak is creating uncertainty for workers in the gig economy. Uber drivers and food delivery workers are grappling with whether to stay on the road when so many other people are being told to stay home. The companies they work for are coming under pressure to provide support. Here's NPR's Shannon Bond.
Uber driver Joe Renice noticed things were different last week in downtown San Francisco.
I was driving around the financial district for 3.5 hours. I got one ride.
That was unusual for Renice, who spends a good chunk of his day driving tech workers and tourists around the city.
I mentioned to my rider, I said to her, is it your perception that there's less people on the street? She says, of course there is, because Twitter, Salesforce, Facebook, they will send everybody home.
On top of companies telling people to work from home, big events in many cities are being canceled every day to try to slow the spread of the virus. That's also curbing demand for rides. Idan Alva drives for Lyft in the Bay Area.
Normally when I would drive in San Francisco, I would, during a day, take 2 or 3 people who are there for some large-scale conferences. These passengers, I don't see them in the last few days.
That's freed up Alva for a task that's become the new normal in the age of coronavirus, cleaning everything.
What I would say is that I'm spending a lot more time on dealing with the car and disinfecting it and all that. I didn't do that before, so now I'm doing that.
He says he wipes everything down at least 3 times a day.
I disinfect my car with Lysol and some other cleaning materials and then air freshener to cover the stench of Lysol.
Lyft and Uber both say they're working on providing cleaning supplies to drivers. But those supplies are limited. So for now, drivers like Alva are paying for disinfectant out of their own pockets. The spread of coronavirus is highlighting just how precarious gig work is. The payroll tax cuts and sick leave policies being discussed by the Trump administration would not apply to gig workers, who aren't considered employees of companies like Uber and Lyft. Linda Valdivia drives for Uber in Los Angeles. She says she's taking a financial hit.
It's very worrying to work under these conditions. So I am trying to drive less than before right now, you know, because I'm being a little cautious about it.
Uber, Lyft, Instacart, DoorDash, and Amazon are offering financial help, but only to workers who have either been diagnosed with coronavirus or put in mandatory quarantine by public health officials. And that's a limited number. Instacart is introducing sick pay for all workers. Another food delivery app, Postmates, will cover medical expenses for workers in 22 states, even if they haven't been diagnosed with the virus or quarantined. But drivers like Valdivia still feel a squeeze. Harry Campbell runs a popular blog for drivers called The Rideshare Guy.
And you have drivers who are often, you know, only making around $15 to $20 an hour before expenses. So when you start racking up a lot of those expenses, you make less as a driver.
Another thing Uber, DoorDash, and other companies have discussed is pooling money into a fund for the many gig workers who drive or deliver for more than one service. That kind of crossover could become even more common as more people hunker down at home and order groceries and meals for delivery. Campbell says he advises Uber and Lyft drivers who are nervous about exposing themselves to passengers to deliver food instead through apps like Instacart and DoorDash.
If the virus does spread and consumers and customers stop going out as frequently and don't even go out to dinner, for example, or want to pick up food, I think that's when we'll see a big shift to food delivery, sort of like what we've already seen happen in China.
Instacart says demand for grocery delivery is already higher in some American cities. Shannon Bond, NPR News, San Francisco. I give him a pow.
Oh, I mean, I shake his hand. That staple of social norms, the handshake, is under siege. NPR's Yuki Noguchi reports on how the coronavirus is reshaping etiquette.
I contacted Mike Sandifer after seeing his post about alternatives to the handshake. When we meet up, he greets me with an outstretched elbow.
Hi, nice to meet you.
I guess. Bump.
Plus bump.
Bump, bump.
Okay.
After nudging me with his elbow, he scans the lobby.
Where's the restrooms?
Do you see there where the hand sanitizer is?
Hand washing has become a global obsession. It reminds Sandifer of what his mother drilled into him.
Did you wash your hands before dinner? Did you wash your hands after dinner?
Everyone's preaching hand hygiene, and that's made the handshake taboo, as in hashtag no handshake. German Prime Minister Angela Merkel was left hanging after her interior minister denied her outstretched hand. This week, the Dutch Prime Minister announced a no-handshake rule, then promptly turned and shook a health official's hand. He later apologized. Sandifer is a realtor and relates to the deeply ingrained instinct to extend a hand.
You know, people from the South are kind of touchy-feely. We are a handshaking crowd.
But virus and disease also shaped Sandifer's childhood. In the 1960s, his father tended to polio patients in iron lungs, and his mother always wore gloves for fashion, but also for hygiene.
She had beautiful gloves.
The sort of like Downton Abbey type gloves.
Oh, she had gloves of all kinds. They were like knitted.
So what replaces the handshake? That's up for grabs, so to speak. There's the fist bump or a prayer gesture.
The namaste is sort of a nice, I think that that's multicultural and it's around the world.
You know, it's funny because my parents are from Japan. And so in Asian cultures, you don't have a handshake.
No, no. My grandmother was born in Japan. That's what she taught us, is that when you met people, you bow.
The lack of consensus has made greeting people bewildering and, frankly, a bit awkward. Even etiquette experts agree.
So I am Mr. Manners.
Thomas Farley is a New York-based etiquette consultant. His weekend was full of hands-free greetings, including at a birthday party.
The host actually posted a sign which said, "This is a hug and kiss-free zone."
That was a coronavirus first for Farley.
And what I liked about it, honestly, was it took some of the awkwardness out of it so that the ground rules were there so that everybody could not feel like the bad person.
At another party, people traded elbow bumps and foot shakes. Except that was weird, Farley says, because this was a house where shoes are left at the door.
That made foot-to-foot contact a little bit more intimate than might be if you were actually wearing shoes.
Farley says he's now rethinking how he teaches business etiquette. One core element had been the perfect handshake. Not flimsy, but not a death grip, and certainly not clammy.
That's the before. Now, of course, we're suddenly thrust into this new era.
But even the new era has its limits for Farley.
To elbow bump or chest bump, it's not professional.
So what's your personal favorite?
I got to tell you, as a Star Trek fan, I love the live long and prosper greeting with the split fingers.
Back with realtor Mike Sandifer. As he gets up to leave, we chat about upcoming plans.
I'm at my birthday's next week.
Oh, happy early birthday.
Thank you.
Don't blow out the candles. I guess, what are you going to do? Like, snuff them out?
I know.
He opens the door, gives me another elbow bump, and we part ways. Yuki Noguchi, NPR News.
See, normally I would have given you a big old hug.
Black brother, hell.
Like Effect continues on 89.7 WUWM. I'm Audrey Nowakowski, and it's time now for a monthly segment on entrepreneurship.
Hi, I'm Kathleen Gallagher.
Kathleen is the executive director of the Milwaukee Institute, and I'm Tim Keane.
Tim is founder and director of Golden Angel Investors, and this is How Did You Do That?, a show about successful entrepreneurs and how and why they succeeded. What made you want to have no free time?
Opportunity. Future opportunity. In that this was opportunity for me to understand something that I wanted to know more about but didn't have a lot of purview into.
James Phelps had for many years thought about starting his own business. One evening, sitting with his two brothers on the stoop of a property they were renovating, the plan began to take shape. It was early 2008, and the U.S. was deep into the Great Recession. The workload was thinning out at the construction firm where two of them worked.
James understood project management, Jalen understood construction, and Cliff knew administration. Within a year, by the end of 2008, JCP Construction was born.
JCP Construction now has 35 employees and annual revenue of more than $12 million. The firm has either managed or worked on some of the city's high-profile projects, including the Bader Philanthropies headquarters, Northwestern Mutual's downtown office tower, Milwaukee School of Engineering's soccer and parking facility, and the Milwaukee Bucks Fiserv Forum.
James, welcome to How Did You Do That?
Glad to be here.
Well, it's great to have you here. Let's start kind of where your construction career started. You got a taste for the trades at Milwaukee Tech, the high school that's now known as Bradley Tech. What kinds of things did you learn there? Did you learn one specific trade or a lot of them?
Well, at Milwaukee Tech, I was in the pre-engineering program, which allowed me to get a taste of the different vocational trades, whether that's machining, electrical, in addition to engineering, a lot of math, sciences, or whatnot. So I think that gave me a good basis in high schools for what was to come afterwards.
You were a good student at Milwaukee Tech, and you got a scholarship to go to Milwaukee School of Engineering. What stopped you from doing that?
Yeah, I got a scholarship to go to Milwaukee Engineering, MSOE, as well as other colleges. But honestly, I didn't know how to fill out the FAFSA. I was the first in the family to go to college, and so it just was a daunting task. I knew there was a delta between what tuition was and then what the scholarship was. So not knowing how to fill that gap, I just pivoted and went a different direction.
The FAFSA is the, like, financial aid.
Yeah, the financial aid package.
So that didn't stop you, though. You didn't know how to do that, but you had this entrepreneurial spirit from the beginning. Was it when you were still in high school you got an apprenticeship?
No, soon after, about a year or two out of high school, after a couple odds and ends jobs, I got an apprenticeship with Milwaukee Public Schools as a painter. So that allowed me a career path into the trades, and then from there, other opportunities.
So what are some of those other opportunities that you had going on at that time?
Well, I ended up purchasing a house soon thereafter, and so that kind of got me into real estate as well as income property. In addition to that, with the opportunity that Milwaukee Public Schools had at the time of tuition reimbursement, I started taking classes that were reimbursable at night.
So I just want to backtrack a little bit. You said you bought some real estate, and early on you figured out that you wanted to buy properties and renovate them and that sort of thing. What was your first attempt? You tried to buy a foreclosure.
I did. Opportunity came my way for a four-family that was foreclosed on. I did the math of what it would cost to rehab it. The lady was willing to part with it for a very cheap price, and it made sense financially. At the time, I was less than 20 years old. Banks weren't really trying to, A, finance rehabs, nor was someone under 20 years old without the financial backing. Went to my father, ask him for the money, and he didn't know if I was serious or not. So I wasn't able to get it. So something we talked about for a while after that. So when the opportunity came for the four family that I did indeed buy, once I started at Milwaukee Public School, he saw that I was serious about it and he actually gave me some of the seed money for that.
So that rejection by your dad, was that motivating or deflating?
You know, motivating, because I wanted to prove that I knew what I was talking about and could do it, yeah. And the numbers made sense. So, and I knew that I had the ability to actually do the work itself from that background at Milwaukee Tech.
So back to what Tim was talking about, then you eventually bought a four family and started rehabbing it with your brothers, right? But you also, you were working full time, mm-hmm. at Milwaukee Public Schools. You were going to school. Tell us all the things you were doing. It sounds like you were busy.
I stayed busy. You know, so in addition to purchasing a four family and just being a landlord, what comes along with that, we soon thereafter started purchasing real estate, rehabs and fixer-uppers as well. So we kept at least one, if not two, of those going between my brothers and other business partners. And in addition to that, I was also going to school. So fitting that in with going to night school as well, which was typically two nights a week. Oh, and having a young family.
That should keep you busy.
Yes.
So just to clarify one last point there, you went to the University of Wisconsin-Milwaukee during this whole period of time. You got a finance degree.
Correct.
Which I assume has been really important to
you. It's been very helpful. I would say that the career path has been very beneficial in that working with the tools and having a journeyman's card from being in construction gives me the hands-on ability to understand how projects go together, along with the financing to be able to understand, well, the financial side of it, which is just as important with running a business, along with, you know, other aspects.
And what year was it that you finished at UWM?
I believe that was 2008.
So in 2005, you joined the Associates in Commercial Real Estate, or the ACRE program, that at that time had been run by Marquette University.
That is correct.
And how did that influence your career path and your business development?
It really opened me up to what was possible. My line of sight was mainly around residential and small investment property, as opposed to the whole world of the rest of the pie relative to the commercial landscape. So allowed me to see how that's possible, what the performer looks like in order to see feasibility of it, along with how to build relationships in the industry to make deals happen.
So For the benefit of our listeners, I would say, first of all, today that program is run by LISC, the Local Initiative Support Corporation in Milwaukee. And can you reflect on how unique or interesting that was? Because I'm not sure.
Can I jump in, Tim? Just to explain the ACRE program, you know, that it's a one-year certificate program, and it's meant to train people of color for careers in commercial real estate, right?
That is correct. So. First of its kind, I believe, by any metrics given, it's probably been it is wildly successful. Going in, I was very excited.
You were in the first class.
I was, and it was pretty intimidating with the other people in the program, of lots of developers of note nowadays, and just people who are still honestly running state agencies and other organizations as well. So it put me in a room with a lot of people. First, I was intimidated because of all the star power that was in the room, all learning. The one common goal is everyone learning more about real estate. But it's allowed me to grow a lot of great friendships which we have to this day.
So just to recap, you were rehabbing houses one or two at a time. You were working full-time at MPS. You were getting a finance degree at UWM, and you were doing this one-year certificate program.
Correct. I may have taken a year off or a semester off for while doing the ACRE program.
And what made you want to have no free time?
Opportunity. Future opportunity. In that this was an opportunity for me to understand something that I wanted to know more about but didn't have a lot of purview into.
So the ACRE program, aside from the classroom work, also provided internships for all of the people. And by the way, there was no cost for that program.
That is correct.
Yeah.
It was a deposit that you got back at the end of the program, I believe, is the way they structured it. But one of the aspects that I loved was the opportunity for the top five people getting internships in the industry, which gave me the incentive to aspire towards one of those internships and kind of pivot careers.
And that program, by the way, was created by a guy named Mark Epley, who is now at the Graskamp Chair at the University of Wisconsin.
Sure is. Yeah. Great guy, and owe him for quite a bit of what I'm able to do today.
So the internship you got out of the ACRE program was at KBS Construction, which is now part of C.D. Smith. It was a big pay cut, right? I mean, you had to go full-time ultimately.
I did. It was literally a 50% pay cut in order to take this opportunity from a union tradesman position to an intern position. But I saw it as a investment of understanding how commercial real estate worked and the inner workings of that.
We've talked about this. You're all about risk, but calculated risk, right?
Yeah, I do. I think that growth comes from being a little bit uncomfortable, and part of that is taking calculated risk, not just on a whim, but at once it's kind of pros and cons outlined, then you kind of make your decision based on that.
So admit it, you're a little bit of a wonk when it comes to weighing that all, aren't you?
Yeah, I think I've won more times than I've lost, but it doesn't mean I haven't lost.
So what did you learn at KBS that helped you on this entrepreneurial journey?
Wow. I would say it was a continuation from ACRE in that it instilled what relationships mean. In construction, I think with a lot of other industries, is based on relationships. And so just having an emotional intelligence of understanding what other people need in order to provide that service to them. So that's just on the one aspect. And there's also just how to build a building. It was funny, seeing that my background was more on the residential side, I was a little uncomfortable coming in and running work there, to which their response was, well, it's the same but a little bit more zeros. they were being a little funny about that, but overall that is the main principle, but there's a little bit more complex building systems that go into it.
You know, we talked about how you were sitting on that stoop with your brothers in 2008, and that's where the idea evolved for starting your own firm. It kind of cracks me up. You thought you'd get more flexibility with your time, right?
Yeah. I naively thought that I'd have my Fridays for golfing in the summer and kind of having a little bit of a more chill lifestyle, but it's been just the opposite. I was warned of that when we started JCP. One of my mentors, Dennis Klein, mentioned that say goodbye to sleeping 8 hours throughout the night, and he's been right.
You said you wanted growth.
Yes.
So what are some of the biggest challenges you've faced over the years with JCP Construction?
You know, I think it's the same one that a lot of other businesses have, which is access to capital, as along with talent, both in the field as well as in the office, to be able to maintain that growth and at the same time maintain quality and budgets. So I would say that, along with it being relationship driven, a lot of people and organizations already have those relationships with other contractors. So it's just about how do we position ourselves so that there's that comfort level for us to be able to grow our client base and be able to work for other clients as well.
So for other would-be entrepreneurs, you know, what are some of the keys to the success you've had in growing the company?
There's a couple of them. I think one would be finding a good mentor or a kitchen cabinet or people that you can bounce ideas off of. I think another one would be take people's advice into consideration, but kind of weigh it so that those who have actually been successful weigh that more towards people who don't have that track record to provide the advice that they're giving.
You've also got some fundamental things about the way you run the company. Can you talk about those?
Sure. I mean, we have the JCP promise, which is to make sure we always provide our product to the customer on time and on budget, you know, and just operating with integrity and with the level of quality that we build our brand on.
Seems like it's worked for you so far.
So far, so good.
Well, great, James. Well, we look forward to watching JCP Construction grow, and we sure thank you for coming.
Oh, my pleasure. Thank you for having me.
Context of white supremacy. Gus T. Renegade in for another broadcast, hopefully to share constructive information on the system of white supremacy. Today's date, Friday, March 13, 2020, so I have been told. This is our weekly forum on neutralizing workplace racism. Wow, so much to talk about this week. Felt like it's been that way for the last two or three weeks with regards to workplace racism. Just lots globally, that's kind of one of the main things in focus. Workplace racism. We have folks who wrote in. We'll get to our callers. Try to cover as much as we can over the time that we have this evening. To start out with, I know I included several reports on the so-called coronavirus, and that has been the worldwide primary attention for the past week or so, dominating headlines, lots of panic, worldwide hysteria about this, and impacting, you know, shutting down businesses in some cases. So that has certainly dominated. But the last report that we played, I consistently say, hey, Black entrepreneurs, super grateful to hear from you all anytime that they participate in the program, just to hear their experience. You know, you go into business for yourself, as they say. How does that impact your experience in terms of working with whites, where you're not working for them per se? They're not your boss, quote unquote. But you're still going to be working with them to get things accomplished. How does that change the dynamic of racism in the workplace? Say that all the time. That was WUNM, Wisconsin Public Radio. And they had their guests on, was JPP Construction. And this was March 2nd, right at the beginning of the month, about 10 days ago. They had them on the broadcast to talk about their construction company and, you know, problems, that sort of thing that they've encountered, what's helped them be successful, quote unquote. All well and good. I even appreciated towards the end, they said, hey, what are some of the obstacles? Capital, that's consistent for Black people in particular, attempting to start businesses, whites not giving them access to capital. And then he said also relationships. Where a lot of times, you know, people already have relationships with a contractor that they feel comfortable with. I think we've heard that before, where you go out and hang out on the golf course or you do some brunches together. And that's how you get that rapport, that camaraderie. Sometimes the specifics of the deal will be discussed at the golf course or, you know, at that brunch. And again, that would seem, in my view, to be racism, white supremacy. Also, sometimes it is friends. White people don't have colored friends, particularly Black friends. So I know Bobby. I can recommend Bobby's business. Lots of dynamics of racism, white supremacy that would impact the so-called Black entrepreneur, even though they didn't say racism. All of those would be reasons for me to play that segment. All of those, you know, if that report had aired December 2nd, 2019, that would have still been, oh, wow, I should play that. You know, let's investigate their experience as black entrepreneurs in Wisconsin. But that report aired on March 2nd. That is important because that report aired on Wisconsin Public Radio less than a week after Anthony Farrell, alleged shooter at the Molson Coors Brewery. It's reported that he alleged racism, white supremacy was a problem. The brewery acknowledged that it was a problem, that racism was practiced against him. A noose was left in the facility. And then he allegedly killed five co-workers, allegedly shot himself. That was just, you know, right at the end of February. And then they come a few days later, March 2nd, with this report on the black entrepreneurs. Now, this is a weekly segment that they have. How did you do that? Talking to different, you know, business people on how they grew their business. But that stood out to me as significant and suspicious. You just have a black worker in Wisconsin where it seems like he's having a tough time on the job because of racism. So tough that it might have led to this dastardly act. And we have black people who come on to work hard, because they did say a lot of that. You work hard. You're not going to get 8 hours of sleep. You don't make excuses. My dad wouldn't give me seed money the first time, and I didn't even let that stop me. I'm serious about this. You just have to work hard. You can't make excuses. You just get out and work hard. We hear that so much. You just get out and work hard. You just get out and work hard. Don't you sit around and make excuses. Don't you be an Anthony Farrell, sit around and blame white people for all your problems. You get out of that bed. And you work hard, and you just keep working hard, and they keep telling you no, and you just keep getting up. You don't stay down. You just keep getting back up, and you go out there, and you keep working, and you keep working, and you don't take no for an answer, and boom, it'll happen. No. Frequently, that is not the case at all. You just keep going and keep going, and they just got more rejections and abuse piled up and waiting for you. That happens frequently in the system of racism, white supremacy. But that just, something just stood out. It's very disingenuous about that, and I mean, hey, I operate talk radio. It easily could have been that they had scheduled that segment months in advance. Maybe that was the case. Maybe they, you know, began working on that segment in, you know, 2019. That could have been. I've also seen where whites can be very quick about putting together a counter narrative. Racism has been raised. Now we won't just bring on any black people. We'll bring on successful, in quotes, black entrepreneurs who have their own business. And they're not on here whining about racism. Maybe I'm in error. Anywho, before we get to Corona, also, I had a Cows listener. Have talked about this consistently. Whenever I speak to Cows listeners, it gets to workplace racism relatively quick. Had a Cows listener, was talking, and they work in one of those facilities where they got the security badges. You know, you have to run it over the door or something to unlock the door. And so a woman classified as white was about to enter the door before her. White woman scans her card, door unlocks, she enters, and the victim behind her, she had her badge and everything. She goes, and this white woman looks back, like, oh, no. Nigger is not going to tailgate on me. That's what they call that, tailgating, when you just run in behind someone really quick at the door like that. She said, oh, no, you gotta scan your card. She's going to close the door behind her, so she can't sneak in. Like, I don't know you, and we're not going to have you slick niggers trespassing on the facility. And so then the white woman, after that, she starts to show her how to scan the card. She says, see, you get your badge here, and you just run. And so the victim, black female, she says, you know, in her head, she's thinking, she wanted to say, B, if you don't get out of here, she said, I didn't think that would be wise. She wanted to watch her facial expressions, because sometimes you don't have to curse and stomp and everything if your face says all of that. So she's conscious of my facial expressions. We talked about that before. Body language, you know, just having as much control as you can over your emotions, even when you run into some tackiness and some racism, which is likely to happen. So she controls her gestures and everything. She gets together. She says, thank you, ma'am, I have it. And the white woman's like, oh, okay. She backs away. So she scans her ID and comes in. The white woman's like, oh, you must be a new Negro, a new employee. I mean, you must be a new employee. I'm Rebecca, and your name is? Oh, okay. I just haven't seen you around the building. That's all. If I had known you, but you know, they have those policies. We don't just want any old coon just running in the building. Doesn't get any better than tacky. And when it does, you still watch your facial expressions. You might want to curse them out, and they might deserve a good cursing, but you watch your expressions. I expected this. And in that situation, I always think it's great to keep your feet moving once you've got through the door. And then they want to, oh, I'm so sorry, friend, black brother. Look here. Let's have a fist bump. Come on, black brother. I didn't mean to do that. You know, I got your back. Keep your feet moving. Yeah, right. Got work to do. Nice meeting you. Mm-hmm. And you just keep on moving. Keep on moving. You don't have to be aloof and not say a word, but it's not going to be, we're going to hang out in the hallway and talk for 5 minutes now. Got work to do. You might have corona. Got to roll. Let's see. Lengthy list. The so-called coronavirus. Wowie. I could have played an hour of workplace racism just on the so-called coronavirus. My goodness. They had a whole, like, 25-30 minute segment on, it was called SOS Chinatown, where people are not going to like Chinese restaurants, Chinese owned businesses. No way. Got the corona is your fault in the first place. Yellow Peril 2020. They are heard. I've heard this Seattle, New York, San Francisco, repeatedly. It might be a global thing, you know, Chinatowns, because they got those in other parts of the world as well. But man, people have not been going, and we are hurting. This is not an excuse, and they call it, this is not an excuse. They had a big report on New York Public Radio. This is not an excuse to so-called discriminate against Asian people, to not patronize their establishments, and we have to be better than that. I thought, wow, like what? Again, nothing, you know, incorrect about that. But I mean, wow, what a public service effort to combat racism against these non-white business owners. You know, I don't recall people making such an effort to help black business owners specifically. We certainly could use some help. Anthony Farrell could have used some help, it sounds like. Anywho, certainly if we have folks, if you have been impacted in some way, in terms of your job, because they have adjusted sick leave policies in some places. They have reports talking about, played that one at the beginning. They said, well, some folks, you're not eligible for paid sick leave. And that's just, you know, tough niggies. If you don't even count as an employee officially. Non-humans, non-employees. They got lots of ways of avoiding your classification, the system of racism. But the changing policy and procedure. They shut some businesses down. The NBA has a suspension. They canceled March Madness, which is unprecedented. I have never seen that. This is the college basketball tournaments to be canceled. They are so loony about basketball, that college basketball specifically. I know in my school and many other schools, I grew up in Atlantic Coast Conference country. That's, you know, like the Coon Man University of Virginia and Duke and University of North Carolina and, you know, all of those schools that they, you know, kind of the what they call blue chip NCAA basketball team schools. So they take that very seriously. They would turn on the NCAA basketball tournament in school, you know, and that went on for years. And years and years. I suspect that they still do that. But for them to cancel that tournament outright, wow. Huge impact on the workplace. Probably more to come. If it has impacted you, if they've had any changes to sick leave policy or policy and procedure in general, that would be good to know. I always talk about that. Updates and what have you. You want to be apprised of that. If this is your first time looking at policy and procedure in a while, great. Make sure you know the sick leave policy and everything. If they make any updates, great. Check it out. Know it in detail. If this amends the policy about work from home, because a lot of people, they've been encouraging that. And so for some jobs where they don't offer the option to work at home, now that has become an option. Lots of important things to pay attention to. We talk a lot about unwanted touching in the workplace. take advantage. We've had folks, I know Ivy before, I was one of the folks who said, hey, I'm not interested in any touching. I don't want to do any handshakes, fist bumps, none of that. We're here to work. Let's be professional. No need to touch. I said, fine. But I said, you heard in the segment from NPR, they were talking about business etiquette and they were saying that's part of the etiquette. You know, you're supposed to have a good firm handshake. You know, that's part of how you climb that ladder. You want that promotion and whammo, put her there. Good firm handshake, and maybe I give a pat on the shoulder depending on who it is and show them that I'm part of the team, have a little camaraderie. You don't want to be standoffish and that sort of thing. That quickly, all of that has changed. I have seen prime ministers. They have videos of prime ministers putting a hand out. Put her there. You got the cooties. And it's like, oh, yeah, that's right. That's right. Yeah, no handshake. No handshake. This would be a great time. You can make this permanent because nobody is going to forget Corona. Nobody. You can just make this permanent. If this is something that you have wanted to implement but felt like you would get pushback, you know, white people, who is this nigger? I say he's not going to shake my hand. Fire him and me. You know, people feeling like it would cause them some problems to kind of have that stance, which I talked about before. All of that's gone now. And you don't even have to explain it. Just Corona. They're like, oh, yeah. Yeah. And I personally, I wouldn't want to do the elbow rub, the foot tap, nothing. I'm cool. You heard my man, be well and prosper. I would figure out something verbal to say, and that's it. No handshake, nothing. And this, as I said, it would be permanent. I'd be saying this 2035 would roll around. But, oh, yeah, that Corona thing, man. I'm still, you know, got a little PTSD. Woo, you remember they canceled the March Madness tournament? Yeah, man. I can't still. Whew, I don't know. We'll see. 2045. We'll see. Maybe I can get back in the handshakes. That's the way I would be talking about it. Just Corona. Corona. It really shot. Couldn't get hand sanitizer. They sold out. It was traumatic times. But I would easily take this opportunity to reevaluate the touching in the workplace because that's happening on a wide scale anyway. So, yeah, all of that gone. No hugs, handshakes, high fives, fist bumps. I'm good. I'm good. Good to see you, Bob. Good to see you, Helen. Good evening, Ted. That would be it. Not white people, too. I don't want to touch anybody. I'm good. And what I said before, if you are concerned about all this, if you are not concerned about all this, if you think racists lie a lot, I don't think, you know, this is just a bunch of hysteria. Maybe they want to drive up the stock of hand sanitizer or they got some other plans that they're trying to do. Racism, white supremacy against China. Who knows? Lots of things. Maybe you take that stance. You think this is legitimate. You know, this is a genuine health scare or at minimum, there is enough that I'm concerned. So I'm concerned about my well-being. I'm, you know, washing my hands and doing all that. Hey, this is a great time. No eating in the workplace. I'm good on all of that. No potlucks. You made cookies. I'm good. You made soup. I'm good. You made tea. I'm good. All of the, you know, we're going to get together and eat. Oh, my God. This is just a vehicle to spread germs. You know, how many hands have touched that macaroni? How many hands have been digging in that fruit bowl and all that? Thomas in New York used to talk about the job. You'd have to go in and cut the fruit and everything. Now, who do I trust enough? You've been in the kitchen fondling fruit for 20 minutes and now you're going to bring it out and present it. Nah, I'm good. You talk about other people are coming in every now and then and they've sneezed and all this. Well, I'm good. And this would be permanent, too. It should already have been the case. But now you have another reason. When I go to work, I'm not excited about food. I'm not. You're employed. You're not starving. You have food at home in your refrigerator, presumably, if you have a job. So nobody should be excited because it's donut day on the plantation. It's pizza day on the plantation. Jonathan baked cookies or pie or whatever it is. Nothing. I wouldn't care if they bought it. If they got it catered from your favorite restaurant, I'm good. We're not looking at the job. Oh, I can rack up and get some, you know, free food or what have you. Like I'm a dog, Pavlov's, because I think that's what it is a lot of times to have you controlled and excited. It's taco day on the job. It's pretzel day on the job. It's cupcake day on the Corona. I'm good. I'm bringing my own food. If I want cupcakes, I know how to make great cupcakes. They got lots of cupcake stores here in Seattle. You can go and get all kinds of cupcakes that you like. You do not need to depend on anybody at work to bring you anything to eat. Corona. So share if Corona has impacted you in the workplace, changed policy and procedure, or you've reevaluated your workplace code as a result of all of this around Corona. Before I read some of what folks wrote in, make sure I get in our reminder. Our Cows Counter-Racist Yoga Retreat may benefit from the Corona hysteria because they are changing travel plans and restricting travel plans. They were talking about some young people saying, hey, we are taking advantage because flights are becoming cheaper for some destinations as a result of all this. So it might be a little cheaper for the folks that are going to Toronto. Check and see. And we are going to Washington, D.C. For this summer. Might be a little cheaper to fly there as well, or you might say, forget it, I'll just drive. That way I don't have to be around anybody's cooties on a plane for any amount of time. But Washington, D.C., August 5 through August 9th, people have already started to sign up, put in their deposits. I will update, let people know what the capacity is as we move. If we get close to selling out, capacity should be 14 plant-based meals. Yoga every day. See if we can go to some of the museums if they haven't been shut down for quarantine by August. But looking forward to hanging out and having some fun in D.C. during election season. August 5th through the 9th. Drop an email if you need more information. The details are on my blog, racism-notes.blogspot.com. See if we can get to London for 2021. Corona should be taken care of by then. Getting to reports that people wrote in. Report number one, while cleaning, wiping down the desk, phone, and keyboard, white coworker walks by and said, I looked up the list of cleaning products and that's not it, pointing to my Fantastic. I bought my own personal bottle and kept walking. I love it. That's one of the best things you can do. Keep your feet moving. It's something about, they call that in physics, inertia. Things that are in motion tend to stay in motion. I'm not even going to stop. I'm not even going to pause to allow you to continue and say more. I said sometimes, frequently, you don't need to say anything at all. You don't need to respond. And this is where I got my cleaning from, and I don't know what it is. Keep moving. Now, you can put that in the workplace journal. You know, Richard at 12:52 p.m. Eastern Daylight Saving Time, Richard had crass comment to make about my cleaning products. You write down what he said and keep it moving. Other than that, yeah, it doesn't require a response. Doesn't even require you to break stride. Keep it moving with your cleaning products. And that is one thing that I was going to say, because I figured that this sort of, that's why I said I could have played at least an hour of reports just about so-called coronavirus in the workplace. The tacky jokes and things in the workplace. I said before, the rule is I don't participate in any jokes, none of that anyway. This type of thing in the workplace, I would record all of that because this is the sort of thing that they're saying you should take seriously, right? Shouldn't be any joking and horsing around. You should take this seriously. Shouldn't be coming to work and this is joke time. Because I thought regularly, I was trying to review some of my work environments. I suspect a lot of the suspected racists that I worked around, they would not make jokes about this per se. I don't think so, at least not out publicly. Most of them, the vast majority of the suspected racists that I worked with, wouldn't do that sort of thing. They wouldn't make other types of racist jokes, fried chicken jokes, that sort of thing. I don't think they would, you know, be joking about this. I think they would, most of them would probably kind of take this serious. I was thinking of environments that I have worked with victims, unfortunately, and they would be making some of these type of jokes. I would not, same thing, I would not participate in any of it. I would not laugh. You want a reputation for being serious about things that are serious. If you are working with people that are joking about this, whatever, pay them no mind. Go about your business. Like, they would not, if they were joking about you not wanting to do the handshake thing, I would not have a word to say about that at all. Mm-hmm. Right. Mm-hmm. Go about my business. Right on. You keep your germs to yourself. Thank you kindly. They want to come in and comment about me cleaning my keyboard or the work area, anything like that. Mm-hmm. Great. No problem. And keep up cleaning. Incidentally, I think that's a great idea. Having your own cleaning solution. If they say it's a shortage or something like that, you can vinegar. I was thinking that's a great cleaning product that's natural. So you don't have to worry about having some really nasty stench in the area that you're going to be working in for, you know, 8 hours, could be 7 hours or what have you. But you can have a little bit of diluted bleach, put a few drops of tea tree oil in, and bang, clean your area. Be nice. You can put that in a small little spray bottle, something that will fit easily, like in a briefcase, attaché, something of that nature, because they have the really small bottles that are just like an ounce or a few ounces. So it's really small, really light, nothing that you'll spill. And you can just boop, 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 spray everything, give a quick wipe down. Good to go. That might be good, especially since they're saying that those types of sanitizing products and what have you are a little bit difficult to obtain in some areas at this point. I think that's the case in Seattle. There you go. A little vinegar, water, tea tree oil. You put a drop of lavender in as well for smell purposes. Anywho, the number again is 605-313-5164. The code 564-943 pound. Press *61 if you would like to participate. So if Corona, if that has impacted your workplace, changed policy and procedure, made you reevaluate, refine your workplace code of conduct, that would be awesome to hear. Still want to make sure I double back and check if folks have a code, worked on a code for actually working entrepreneurial sense with other black people. That is always good. Just things in mind that might be, it might be that you just do the same things that you do when working with whites. That might work fantastically great. You could share that also. But if you have specific components that change to make sure that things work well, that you don't have unnecessary problems when working with other black people, victims of racism, that is always good to think about, because those opportunities may happen. In fact, if we're doing our job, the business of counter-racism, that is an entrepreneurial effort. So always good to be thinking about that as well. 605-313-5164, the code 564-943 pound. Press *61 if you would like to participate. Coming to Toronto, May 21 through May 24. Hopefully without bringing any viruses. Be in Toronto with us. Good to hear from you, ma'am.
Hi, great to hear from you too, Gus. Greetings. Greetings to you, callers and listeners. So yes, the coronavirus has also impacted Toronto. I know that at the particular plantation that I'm at right now, I was informed that it's going to be shut down for 30 days. So the type of place that I'm in currently is a group home. For 30 days, the residents will be there. There'll be no home visit. So yes, I know that for my offspring as well, the workplace has reduced significantly the shifts. There's also talks about closing down the universities, the colleges, the nurseries slash daycares, as well as elementary and high school. And I just find this very interesting. Today I had to literally go to five different stores to try and find toilet paper. Now, as I recalled, with the coronavirus, I don't think it has any disturbance with the gastrointestinal, but for some reason, can't find toilet paper. Another thing that cannot be found is hand sanitizer. the aisles are cleared on that, as well as paper towels are very hard to come by. And when I ask the store clerks if they have any surplus in the back, they say no, they don't have any in stock. Whatever was there and it's gone. So I've never seen anything like this before. And when my offspring and I, we were talking about this, there was mention of, you know, it could be possible that this is a ploy to benefit the pharmaceutical companies as well as other types of companies such as those dealing with hand sanitizers, toilet paper, and other hygienic products, as well as a power move for the medical community to then lobby for more money, considering that they have within their grasp the possible cures for this or possible ideas to significantly reduce this. I know that it's really hit Toronto within the last month, but the coronavirus has been known about for the last 3 months, and it's just interesting how slow the information is coming through as to how to handle it, and the fear factor has significantly increased among people. We've been told at the plantation that I'm at that we can only bring food from home. We cannot have food from takeout. And it's pretty interesting, considering that 83 to 86% recovery rate, which is fairly high, more significant than the flu. So I really question this quote unquote pandemic, if it's just used as part of a social experiment, and if it's also coordinated with, certain industries to really benefit off of the fear factor off of this. So that's just an observation and a discussion that was had. In terms of the report, the current plantation that I'm at, there's been a number of significant deal breakers that I've noticed. And as a result, I'm working on my exit strategy yet again. So provided is a report. I've noticed that very early on, the staff that I'm working with sabotages a lot. The situation that I'm in is dealing with behavior management, of which it results in restraint, as sometimes the residents can get very violent. I've had an oak chair thrown at me. I had a resident already try to bite me, hasn't been there for more than 3 weeks, not even 3 weeks yet, and I've been involved in over 15 restraints, have had injuries and benefits do not kick in until 6 months, so I'm really concerned about that. In terms of my title, I looked on the system for payroll, and I noticed that my title was considerably different and would have been a lower pay grade than the title that I received a letter of employment for. So I requested to have that title change. It finally was after a week and a half. There's been significant concerns around hours of pay. I've been noticing discrepancies and been forwarding emails as such. So I'm waiting for that to be rectified. I'm just really concerned. It's just really concerning. So I'm just in the process of looking for another plantation that would be slightly better, less physically involved, and where my safety would be much more secured than where I'm currently at right now. Also, just to note, I was criminalized today over iced tea. I went to a pharmacy to pick up iced tea because I was just finishing up my errands, and I figured, well, quench my thirst. And I handed the cashier a $20 bill because that was the only amount that I had in my wallet at the time. And she proceeded to give me an amount of $1.25. The iced tea was $3.75. So I looked at her and I said, I gave you a $20 bill. And she said, no, you gave me $5. And I said, no, I gave you $20. And then another customer came up behind me and told her, no, this customer gave you $20. So the owner of the store was right beside her and said that, oh, well, we have to do an audit. I'm like, really? How long does this audit take? So, you know, I got inquisitive around the theater of it all. So apparently they had to go and get another assistant manager to go in and do an audit to see if the $20 was there. I explained and described the $20. It was folded up. And so it you should still see the crease marks in that $20. And so then again, I was told, oh, it's only $5. And I'm like, no. The currency that we have here are color-coded. $5 is blue and the $20 is green. The colors are significantly different, so there is no way to confuse the two. And they're at the cash register, so they should fairly be certain as to what type of currency I would have given. Come to find out, they opened up the cash register. The folder $20 is on the top. I received it, made sure that I showed it to all three of them, the assistant manager, the cashier, and the owner. And I proceeded to say, you know, after all this, cancel my order. I just want my $20. I will be going to another vendor to get my beverage. And by the way, the incompetency is absolutely disgusting. And then I was told, oh, it was just a mistake. And I said, it's a very interesting mistake, considering that unless someone does not know their colors, with the currency, you know, it's a very unusual mistake. And the customer behind had mentioned, you know, they should compensate me for it. And of course they did not. And I said, well, of course they wouldn't, because they lack decency to do so. And I proceeded to leave. So that is the report for the week. And, I'll be heading into work tomorrow, and I just hope to get out of it in one piece by Monday. Thanks for listening, and I leave the line.
Well, I did have one question. You said with the corona that they were shutting down the business for 30 days. Like, does that mean work? Everybody's got to work from home, or does that mean no work at all? Like, what?
Well, what it means is that the residents will not be able to go on home visits. However, because it is a 24/7, 7 day a week, 365 day operation, workers are still needed to go to the homes to provide support. Now, the thing that I find that is really questionable about this procedure that has been amended and now implemented is that, well, workers still go from place to place. It's certainly not going to stop the spread of the coronavirus. It's already in circulation, so at this point there's really not much to do about it. So I don't know what that will entail, like what the end result is to be. If it's to reduce contact, it's not going to work. People use transit. People go to different stores. I'm sure that workers go on outings when they're off work hours. So it's quite puzzling indeed as to why this new policy has been implemented.
Interesting. Very, very interesting. The even the food policy I thought was interesting because they said you can bring food from home, but you can't bring takeout. Like, I don't know. I don't know why it would be assumed that whatever food you have at home, however you prepared it, wherever you got it, because, I mean, sometimes people go out and whatever food that they get and prepare at home, sometimes they go to a lot of different places to get it. And, I mean, yeah. Anyway, I don't know why that would be assumed that whatever food you have at home is safer than takeout food. But again, if they have concerns about food being brought into the workplace, I'll just echo what I said before. No need to eat anything. Because what I'm saying is I don't think the food that they cook at home, I don't have an opinion that that would be any safer than what's at the takeout place. So there's no need to eat anything that anybody brings into the workplace at all, unless you bring it in yourself. Let's see. The consistent discrepancies in pay, as well as the inaccuracy with your title, because as you said, that ends up having a financial impact when, you know, your letter of hire has you listed, you know, at this position, which has this rate of pay, and then they have you listed online at this position, which has a lower rate of pay. That sort of thing is pretty consistent in terms of non-white people and how we get victimized. I think we've had a number of folks who've talked about that, where they were at the hiring point, one particular salary was mentioned, and then they get hired and it's a substantially lower salary, and like, oh yeah, that was just a possibility, and that, yeah, we can't do that, so it's going to be, you know, 75% less than what we thought. But that's all right, just work hard and, you know, all the rest of it. But those would be especially consistent discrepancies in pay, where I'm constantly time and energy, I'm having to take time and energy to forward emails and contact this person, go down to financial or HR, got a problem with my paycheck, I'm missing, you know, such and such hours, and I got to do this regularly. Like, at minimum, would we just say incompetence, unprofessional? If I'm here, I'm putting myself in jeopardy. We got clients who are throwing oak chairs at me and projectiles. I don't even have health insurance that's going to cover some of this, and I can't even expect that my pay is going to be adequate. I mean, major red flag. And I say that for any job. Like, they're just basics, fundamentals that we should expect in any work environment. My pay should be accurate, you know. That just should not be something that I should have to worry and sweat, and I got to go get a magnifying glass and sit down with an abacus and a calculator and go over and make sure, okay, and I got all of my hours so I can look and, you know, make sure. I mean, come on. I've said consistently, we have to be the ones to take our safety, make that a priority, because consistently we'll be put in work situations where our safety is totally disregarded. That is especially true for folks who work, I think, in the healthcare industry. That can be one of the more dangerous jobs. They talk about being an enforcement official. Like, man, and lots of that where they're throwing objects at you, biting you. I've read a number of reports. They had a big case out here in Washington State where they had black healthcare professionals who were working with white clients who were racist. They were working with racists, and they were calling them nigger and all the rest of it, and they were just being told, oh, yeah, nothing you can do about it. They got dementia, or they're old, or, you know. Don't let it bother you. Sticks and stones. But, yeah, take your safety seriously, especially, you know, hey, if they got good aim and I get hit with one of these chairs or something, that's not even covered. Like, are you serious? I mean, that would require a whole separate code about making sure that I'm going to be safe and really prioritizing my well-being in the workplace. I'm not going above and beyond and getting bruised up and scuffed up and all that. Nope, not going to happen. I'm going to make sure that they are safe. I am safe. Priority on the latter. I am safe. Let's see. The incident with the tea, time and energy again. I have not heard of an audit. I have gone to many convenience stores, drug stores, little shacks, whatever, where you're just going to get an iced tea. I guess we could pause for Trayvon Martin. But I've gone to many of these establishments. I have never seen. Wait a minute. We've got a discrepancy. We got young lady here. She says that she handed over a 20. Incidentally, I don't know where Coons get a $20 bill from, but all right. She says she gave us a 20. I say it was a 5. We sometimes allow Coon to get a 5. We're going to have an audit. Let's shut everything down. Got to pause it. Like, what? I have never seen that in my life at a cash register where they've had to pause. I mean, if that means we have to take all of the money out and count, like, what? I have never seen that. And I have seen where a discrepancy came up and blah, 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 blah. I have never seen we're going to have an audit to see if this here, you know, nigger is lying about what bill was given. Wow. So we do the audit, I guess, and figure it out. The nigger did give a 20. Okay. I guess we can do the transaction. I love the black self-respect. No, thank you. I'll just take my cash back. And that's that right there. I suspect that this was an individual classified as white who was behind you. I don't know. I wasn't there. But who spoke up and said, hey, she did give you a 20. And then, you know, added in, hey, you should compensate her. Give her a tea for free. Give her a case of tea for free. Wasted all this time. We had to do an audit and everything. Wasted my time too. Give me a tea as well. That is, please treat me like I am a white person. They recognize, hey, how would I be treated? How would I expect to be treated? What do I think the correct resolution to this type of situation is? There should be compensation. Time and energy is valuable. I came in just to get a tea and go about my business. Now I got to sit here. We got to do an audit. I've been accused of, you know, lying about trying to, you know, swindle this guy out of $20. I mean, all of this. How about a free tea? How about some recognition? Wow, we wasted all of your time, accused you of lying, tried to steal your $15. Like, man. And now we're going to charge you $375 for that tea, probably plus tax. Man. That is, please treat me like I am a white person, not to just be. It wasn't incompetence. It was just a mistake. We were not being racist. No need for you to be sassy about it. Let me check this 20 to see if it's counterfeit, actually. Okay. Yeah. No need for you to be sassy about it. Here's your raggedy $20. And if you're not going to get a tea, then get out of here. You're loitering. Reason enough to be agitated, system of white supremacy. But black self-respect, not buying the tea. Black self-respect. The number again, 605-313-5164, the code 564-943 pound. Press *61 if you would like to participate. Global panic buying, that's what they call that, where you can't get toilet paper and hand sanitizer. I think a number of folks have been reporting, commenting on that, exact same thing that you said, why this would warrant no toilet paper to be there, why people would feel compelled to buy 15 rolls of bulk toilet paper as a result of all this. I didn't hear anything about diarrhea being a symptom of corona. But they've done a lot of that here in Seattle as well. You can't get hand sanitizer. And they've been bulk buying like odd thing or panic buying like bizarre things, Seattle things like avocados, cauliflower, hot dog buns, bizarre things. Let's see. And hand sanitizer and toilet paper. let's see. Other folks who dialed in, if you have questions, suggestions, observations, hand sanitizer you would like to donate, lines should be open. Proceed.
Can I be heard? You could go ahead, sir.
Just briefly, both Broward County Public Schools and Miami-Dade County Public Schools has just suspended suspended from having classes in the public school system. So I don't know exactly about the teachers on whether or not they would be at work, but they would be deep cleaning the schools during spring break and also this particular week, which is not spring break. I suspect with all of those children who are no longer would be in school, it's going to it would cause a effect that would put burdens on the parents who are employees to different places, complications, especially with the younger children, because with a lot of non-white black people, the school time would take the place of having to find some means to keep their child or children from, you know, 8 to 3. So that would complicate matters. Also, when it comes to things that are going to be missing in grocery stores, food is going to be next. Food is going to be the next issue that's going to be next as far as from what I hear and what I understand. Fire department, all of your emergency response, especially the medical ones, and the fire department is a part of that. A lot of people don't understand it as such. They just think it's fighting fires, but overwhelmingly it is the medical side that is the most prevalent. It makes things more complicated, but they are more familiar with it than people on other professions as far as that concern. I don't know exactly on what the new things that they will be doing, but I'm pretty sure it's would be in the form of equipment for safety purposes for yourself and or a patient. From there, I would say an already complicated relationship with other people on the job would become even more complicated as such. I'm not sure on exactly how, because I haven't been on the job since 2007. so I wouldn't know exactly, but I'm pretty sure it is. I haven't gotten any reports yet in that light. I will stay to be able to deliver it to anybody when I get it. Otherwise, I'll just continue to listen to everybody's report. I would say, though, if people are throwing chairs at you, it's time to exit the job. It definitely is time to go. This be in Toronto, because your physical safety is at risk. Thank you.
Physical safety, super important. Say it again. We have to make that super priority in the workplace, in general, really, but especially in the workplace, because our safety is disregarded so frequently in places where we work. Our other male caller who spoke simultaneously, much obliged for yielding. You should be with us, sir.
Thank you very much, Gus. Thank you, callers. I just wanted to make some points. You were discussing this issue about security. Someone at a job was, someone asking someone to show up Well, what it's called piggy banking when you come behind someone without scanning their card. So they can complain about that. And then if you try to enter without scanning your card, they could make that into a situation. So all you could do is just to be courteous. And then be from Toronto. If you're working at like some kind of group home, you're supposed to have some training called crisis management, where, you know, this particular training is used to deal with people who become violent and who may become a danger to themselves and others. And typically when people do that, you're supposed to call the police, but I'm not sure what your policy is at your workplace. You might want to look into your work policy, policies and procedures to know what you're supposed to do in case the people who you're providing services, the people who you're providing services become violent. So that's a good guideline to keeping yourself safe so that you don't feel that you're in danger, and also that you could also keep your job. Because it's really hard to get a job nowadays, and because being a non-white person, it makes it even harder. Because as of October 29th, I was fired from my job, and you know, a lot of things happened to me on my job that would be considered to be illegal. Because like I was assaulted and you know, they were doing a lot of things, and I went to the police station to report it, and then they didn't do anything. They refused to take my police report. So, you know, there's a lot of things that are going on to us as non-white people, and really all you can do is just try to get as much as information as you can. You know, go to the library, probably not now because the coronavirus has closed everything down, but you could stay at home and do research, you know, try to be, as what my dad says, a self-educated person. So you could just try to give yourself as much information as you can in order for you to make constructive decisions. And then you just use the logic that came with the universe to help you, you know, just to control your emotions and to think before you speak and act. You know, and that's really what codification is all about. So, you know, I'm really having a really tough time. You know, I'm rigorously being mistreated every day, but I expect that it's going to happen because I am living in a system of white supremacy, racism, and this is how people who have color in their skin are treated. Thank you very much.
Much obliged, sir. Thank you for sharing. Even though that is very typical to be expected in the system of white supremacy, the treatment that you experienced and disruptions in employment and even the constant targeted abuse while you are employed. You said that you were assaulted in the workplace, and then you went, which is something we talked about. File a police report if you are assaulted. That's something that can be reported in the workplace, should be reported, but also that's something where you can just contact enforcement officials if you've been assaulted and just, you know, report that there, because it might be where you need enforcement authority to intervene to deal with this, even with non-white people if they've been the perpetrators, because we've had some of those examples as well. But with the assault, I guess... you don't have to go into every aspect of it, but what happened with the assault in the workplace?
Well, what happened is I went to the police station to go and to report it, and then they refused to take my police report.
Or with the incident. So then, what I've been with the workplace, if you want to talk about it.
Well, with the particular incident, they refused to take my police report. So what happens is, after that happened, then I realized that, you know, I'm not really sure. I have reason to believe that the people who were assaulting me were actually law enforcement. but I don't know if that's true or not. And Mr. Fuller has said that when people who are supposed to be considered law enforcement and then they break the law or they do something that is abusive and harm someone, they're considered to be race soldiers, because that's what the meaning of race soldiers is. It's people who carry a badge and gun, who come in the form of law enforcement, but instead of helping people, they are abusing people, whether it's based on color or some other reasons for material comfort or glory or just non-constructive fun, because we are living in a system where people are being abused all over the world, you know, and based on color. And then when people go to report these things, nothing is done. So, you know, I've been speaking to my assembly member for the government official that's responsible for the area that I was in. And I've been calling him and he's been ignoring me, you know, ignoring my calls, ignoring my emails, ignoring my faxes. And then several days ago, I got thrown out of my apartment. And then I had law enforcement throw me out. And, you know, and it's just been a really horrible time that I've been going through, you know. And, all I had just to keep myself together was, Mr. Fuller's book. You know, the United Independent Compensatory Court System Concept, a textbook for victims of white supremacy. And, you know, the book is really helpful because it gives me strategies and ideas of how to handle these kinds of situations. So that's basically what I've been doing. But every day it gets harder and harder. You know, I'm still being harassed, and every day, in all different forms, you know, and being targeted. They're victimizing me. They're trying to provoke me, using all tactics of, taking away my ability to sleep at night, using family members to terrorize me, you know, instigating fights. I mean, you know, whenever I listen to the news and I watch some of these non-white people complaining about that they're being discriminated against because of their hairstyle, it really gets me upset, because I'm thinking, like, here my situation, I'm being stopped from having a job, I'm being stopped from having access to constitutional rights that are supposed to be available to every person, you know, especially here in the Northern Hemisphere. You know, there's a constitution in the United States, there's also a constitution here in our Canada. And simply based on your color, these rights can be either undermined or stripped just based on your color. And I never believed that some of this could ever be happening to me, you know. So basically, I use the suggestions that I get from Mr. Fuller, you know, and I speak to my dad every day, and we just talk about how we can solve problems without creating new ones. That's it.
Thank you for sharing, sir. Using logic, hopefully things will improve, but that is the system and why we are dedicated to trying to get this problem solved as soon as possible. Context of white supremacy, global problem, nowhere to run. Number again is 605-313-5164, the code 564-943-pound. Press *61 if you would like to participate. Non-Clemson grad was with us in Virginia, our first counter-racist retreat. You should be with us.
Hey, Gus, how are you doing? Hope everyone is doing their best for a Friday. I have a couple of stories, even one involving the coronavirus for work. The first one is that me and my wife were invited to participate in an event where awards are given to Black people who have contributed to the community. So let's see. One of the people who is running the event is a Black male, but he is in a business partnership with another white male, which is interesting in itself. Now, me and my wife have had deals with the white male because we do something called Dancing with the Stars. And he does what he does in his business is basically production. So when it comes to stage things, performances and stuff like that, that is what the white male's job is. So anyway, we were at our event, which was a committee for trying to come up with the rules and regulations for awarding people in the community about their contributions. And towards the end of the event, the white male, I don't know how we got to this conversation, but the white male talked about how, you know, his friends, and he's one of the few white guys who has mostly Black friends and doesn't, and maybe has only about four white friends. If you would have seen, at least me personally, my wife wasn't there at the time, but I'm looking at another Black male in the room as he's saying this kind of thing, and we just look at each other and begin to shake our head. And how overly verbose he talked about, you know, how he has a lot of Black friends and a handful of white friends. I'm not really sure. Well, I guess you can imagine why he would do something like that. Another story. So I've been saying this over the last couple of times I've called in. You know, in my position, I do something called the Title VI plan. And one of my responsibilities was updating the report with the most recent available census data that I had available to myself. I was able to keep all the words that I created, like replacing complaint with report and replacing discrimination with mistreatment. But one of the things I put in there was demographic maps of the region where we live that broke down Hispanic by race, right? And this woman, who was the civil rights attorney for the Federal Transit Administration, I'm going to assume she's white, I could be incorrect. You know, I got on the phone with her twice by myself and the second time with my manager, and both times she said my maps in particular, the ones that broke out Hispanic by race, was basically targeting the Hispanic population. So, we got on the phone with her, and after having a conversation with my manager, who was another white male, even he agreed that her logic was, a little unclear, a little, wanting basically. And, nevertheless, I took out the maps, and because we needed to get this report approved because it was already approved by our elected officials in our region. After I was done with that, what I did was I emailed the lady asking her questions about the procedures and policies and regulations for what kind of data is supposed to be used to produce the kind of maps that I use to produce the report, because by FTA regulation, you must create a demographic profile of your region when producing your Title VI report. So that means people who are non-white, which they refer to as minorities, where your populations are when it comes to census tracts or census blocks. If anybody know what those are, basically geographic locations around the region that are, of course, contiguous, but made of a very different weird-looking shapes, and where basically where certain types of people cluster in your region. And of course, one of the questions I asked is like, is there any rules and regulations for why she, asked me to remove my maps? And I specifically asked her about the word, why she felt I was targeting the Hispanic population. She took a couple of days to respond back to me. And, even she admitted, like, apparently it's a local decision, which means my decision, because it was my job, about what data was to be used to produce the maps. But when it came to the word on the question about targeting of the Hispanic population, all of a sudden she feigned ignorance, like she did not know what I was talking about. Nevertheless, the maps, the report was already approved. And my manager was like, you know what, don't worry about adding the maps back when you do your next update. I told him that when I do my next update next year, I will go ahead and put the maps back, because he did agree with the maps that I created. And just, and you know, we'll see if she's still there next year or what she says next year. Because if she tries this again, I'm going to make sure that she says whatever promise we have with me if she puts it in the phone with email. She played ignorant over the phone. Well, she said what she said over the phone, but then when I brought it up, what she said on the phone, she played ignorant in the email, which is perfectly fine. Like, we do that from time to time. And then about one or two days ago, I was walking the office in my, walking the hallways in my, at my workplace. And I had my headphones in, because usually I'm practicing Spanish or Japanese, because that's what I like to do when I get away from my desk, just to get a little break for myself. One of my coworkers was walking from the opposite direction of me, and she gestured to me, and I took out my headphones, and she started talking about the coronavirus to me. And I was like, really? You're bringing this up? Okay, that's fine. She said, like, you know, usually you're pretty knowledgeable about stuff, which was very shocking to me. She actually saw me as someone who was knowledgeable. I don't know why, because, I really don't know why. She said what she said, right? And I told her, like, this is unfortunately this is happening right now, but, you know, don't let it get you too worried or too down. But she admitted to me that she's worried about her husband, because her husband is in his 60s and he's retired. So that means he's in the age demographic to be susceptible to the virus. And then also she was worried about her mother, who was in her late 80s, understandably so. And then she also added that that she was particularly worried about this virus because she feels like anyone she comes across could potentially have the virus. Now, even given the example that one of the office secretaries touched her on the shoulder and she was like, don't touch me. And in that moment, I couldn't help but to think to myself, that's interesting. A lot, you know, as a black person, or any black person for that matter, if a black person was to say something along the lines of, I suspect all people of racism because I don't know which white people are racist, well, that black person would probably be called a reverse racist. But I would also say that it definitely wasn't unreasonable for her to assume that any potential person that she comes across can have the coronavirus, and that juxtaposition just really stood out in my mind. And with that, I'll mute my line. We'll try to mute my line.
That's what it amounts to some days. You just try your best you can to work with that mute button. Hey, the logic, don't touch me. Hey, we can make that a part of our counter-racist code. I guess before you get too fancy with the mute button, didn't you report, non-Clemson grad, that you were described as the office contagion, the office virus? Wasn't that one of your reports from not that long ago?
Yes, that is true. This was back in like November, December, where the woman who was the office administrator in my office, you know, at the time, I wasn't feeling well. I think maybe I had a cold or something like that. And but I didn't tell anyone in my office what I had. I just simply said I wasn't feeling well and, of course, stayed home. But, you know, she never said the word contagion, but she was acting like that. You know, the word she was using, like, you know, if you're sick, you got to tell us, you know, stuff like that. And writing things on my board outside my door, like, you know, really, really sick and stuff like that, really making it more than what it was. So, yeah.
Remember that one. Black people, non-white people, regularly, that's in medical apartheid, regularly referenced as being some sort of virus, a plague. Got to get away from the niggers. Let's see. That is fascinating because I don't think most black people, Dr. Welsing, I don't think she said that she had too many experiences where a white person came and was like, wow, you are so knowledgeable. I just want to come to get you. Like, what? Really? Me? You're talking about me. Non-Clemson, that's who you're talking to? I'm knowledgeable. Doesn't matter if, you know, I do think I'm a knowledgeable person or not. That's irrelevant. It's in a system of racism. Generally, black people are, you know, if you're not contagious, certainly you're an idiot. You are not intelligent about anything. Maybe fried chicken. That's about it. If we're talking about fried chicken, absolutely, you're a genius. But other than that, and James Brown hits, I mean. But yeah, so she comes to talk about Corona. That would be another one. Like, I put that, all of that in the category when it's kind of not work-related, and that's not work-related. It's not like she came to talk to you about, you know, we're updating the paid sick leave policy and, you know, that type of thing. Like, not, you're not coming to do the woe is me white person routine. And, oh, this coronavirus, and, oh, man, isn't it terrible? And what are we going to do? And we bought 50 packs of toilet paper last night. I just don't know how we're going to, like, come on. We got work to do. It's toilet paper in the stall. Get back over there and get some work done. You're not going to come over here and whine. And now the mouse.
Sir, I have a question. Particularly in the media, obviously the coronavirus has been going, you know, rampant and stuff like that. But the two basketball players who play for the NBA, right, two black males, I think they're on the same team. One of them, I think his name was Rudy Gobert or something like that. I saw an article, but I could not find the article after I initially saw it, talking about him touching all the microphones in a press conference, and then, you know, that video going viral and people getting worried that, you know, that they might have been around the microphone that he touched. Maybe I'm being paranoid, but I personally feel like the media is starting to make that pivot towards making black men the face of this epidemic. And I find this to be quite ironic, because just before I started talking, I found an article. Like me, I'm of Nigerian descent, right? And I just saw an article that just came out about an hour ago that said that basically Nigeria, even after having two confirmed cases of coronavirus, is now coronavirus free because those two people who got sick in Nigeria have fully recovered.
Interesting. I will have to pay attention to that. If it starts to be that more black people start having more reports that black people are infected, because I had been seeing reports that they were saying black people were not, there were not very many black people that were infected, and this wasn't causing a big problem on the continent so far, talking about Nigeria being free. Those are the type of reports that I have been seeing. The basketball players that you mentioned, I did see that report this week. That goes to workplace racism too, because Rudy Gobert, that's the player that you were talking about, he's born in France, Gobert. He touched all of them, because I saw memes of it and people grousing about it and fussing at him, but I didn't know what they were talking about, so it took me a while to actually find so I could see the full concept. Like, oh, okay, I got it. So he went and touched all these microphones of these reporters, kind of joking about the virus thing, and then I think the day after that it was announced that he did have the coronavirus and couldn't play and he had a fever. And I think that the same day that it was announced that he had the virus is the day that they canceled the season. And then they added more to it. One of his teammates, also a black male, Donovan Mitchell, not born in France, he has the virus too, they announced. And they said that he was upset about Mr. Gobert touching all the microphones, because they said apparently he was doing the same thing in the locker room, like going and touching all the guys in the locker room and touching their stuff and, you know, just trying to joke about all this. And then, like I said, he had the virus. Next day it was announced, and then his teammate got the virus. So if anything, like I said, I would refine my workplace code. Number one, white people or non-white people, I'm good. We're not doing fist pumps, handshakes, none of that. Let's all keep our hands to ourselves. What's up? What's good? Head nod. We don't even have to do that if, you know, whatever. But I mean, if we're friends, fine. We can do all that. Other than that, keep your hands to yourself. But I did see a lot of people fussing at him about that and calling him names and blah, blah, blah. So, yeah, that would be something to pay attention to if this pivots in any way, particularly if you start seeing, like, prominent figures. Like, I think Tom Hanks and then Rudy, the guys with the Utah Jazz. I think those are some of the more prominent people that I've heard, like people, well-known individuals that you've seen on television and such, who they say have the virus or what have you. The map situation, fascinating, especially with the accusation that these maps are somehow targeting Hispanics. And this is someone with the Federal Transportation Commission. Like, wow, that's such strong language. And then that's so consistent, that standard operating procedure, using all of this language. Oh, yeah, these maps are atrocious. This is a violation of policy and procedure. This is darn near Jim Crow here. And then you come back, well, wait a minute. What do you mean targeting exactly? And we're required to have demographic. I don't even remember. Did I say I don't even remember that? Coronavirus is going around. We're struggling to get hand sanitizer. It's hard for me to even recall what I said, but I think it's approved, and we'll just go from there. Standard. That's why they've had some of those situations where for jobs like this, where they have recording that's automatic for the phone call, because that's just an talk about epidemic. That is an epidemic. White people forgetting what they said, especially when they've accused somebody or they've lied, and then somebody comes back with evidence or logic or just questions about what was stated. Oh, yeah, it has slipped my mind. I think got a teaspoon of that Corona, and I'm going to go and get myself some tea and steal some hand sanitizer from someplace and get some rest. But I'll go home and think about it. I'll check my notes. And if I remember anything, targeting. Yeah, it just is not coming to me right now. But I thank you for your interest. Much obliged. See, they'll do that all the time. To be expected, if you have one of those jobs where this is a standard practice, that might be something to even bring up, because they do, as I said, they do have that in some workplaces where they just record all workplace conversations. Boop, they just get recorded automatically. That way it's no discrepancy. So I don't remember what was said. Well, let's go get the recording. Whammo. See, there you said it right there. 5 minutes and 20-second mark. Targeting. You want to play it back? Then we don't have these problems. The manager, I appreciate that they recognize logic, because that's all we're trying to do in the workplace. You don't have to accuse anybody of being racist. Following logic. How are these maps that just show population demographics in a given area, how is this targeting so-called Hispanics? Just following logic. If you don't see it, maybe she can explain that to us, and then we'll both learn something. You work at the Federal Transportation Commission. You know more than us. Maybe you can, you know, break it down to us. Then we'll be in more informed. We'll be in a better position. We do these reports in 2021. That's not what we got. Always interesting with that use of the term Hispanic, which I do discourage. But if that term is going to be used, and breaking that down, as he said, not just throwing it out there, but then breaking that down, because they'll say Hispanic white and then Hispanic non. Whoa. Wait a minute now. We're not trying to have all that detail. Wait a minute. That sounds like something racist white supremacists would do. We want it to be confusing. We want it to be muddled. We don't want this. We're leading towards getting a little bit more clarity about who's living here, what the racial class. That's not what we want. We want confusion with the racial classifications. That sounds very much in line with racism white supremacy. I could be mistaken. Let's see. Other folks. Let's see. Yes, sir.
I think the problem with the word Hispanic, it's actually not a color. So that's what really that's the part that really can be confusing, because in Mr. Fuller's book, it says there's only three known types of people in the known universe, that white people, non-white people, and white supremacists who are the racists. So Hispanics is not a color. So the best term for people with Spanish speaking is non-white. And then the gentleman that was speaking before, he was saying, he used the term reverse racism. That is another word that really causes a lot of confusion, because non-white people can't practice racism.
30 seconds.
The only people who can practice racism are the people who are classified as who are white supremacists and who are racist. That's it.
Much obliged. Let's see. Person who dialed in, also with us at the retreat in Virginia. Our caller in Virginia should be with us. Did you have commentary, observations, updates to share?
Yes, I do. Greetings, Gus, and everyone. This week, I've noticed several things related to school as a workplace regarding coronavirus, and I believe that much of it, of course, is whites practicing racism. The Coon Man shut down schools in Virginia for a minimum of 2 weeks. We just received this call and email late this afternoon, so that is effective Monday. And I believe this will impact our non-white students, especially if they have any kind of challenges or lack of access to certain technology, because it seems as though what they're getting ready to do is implement some kind of remote learning or distance learning, even at the elementary, middle school, high school level. So just people kind of be aware of that. My youngest son, who's in eighth grade, said something about the school saying that they were going to distribute Chromebooks to the students who may not have access to certain things. So if you are in that situation or your offspring is in that situation, just be aware that you might need to ask for assistance, or if you already have the technology, great, but I think that's kind of where it's headed. Universities, of course, being shut down, my older two offspring, who are both away at college, will be home. My middle son, who's a freshman, he's at home now. We're going to go pick up his stuff on Monday. My oldest daughter will be coming home on Monday as well, and they are ordered to finish out the semester remotely. And it's been interesting watching this whole week how suspected racists control everything in, you know, just all of the communication, the email. We've been watching very closely and just seeing how things are being worded, seeing what kinds of things they're saying that are going to impact the students, the families, and everything. So it's been a very challenging week. Yesterday, my son received an audio file. So this would go under Black Self-Respect. It sounded like a Black girl, maybe even a young woman, giving information out, saying that, you know, she has some connections with, you know, people in, you know, the Pentagon and this and that. But she's, you know, heard that there would be some kind of quarantine period. And I received that same audio file from two other people. And with that, it prompted me to go ahead, go to the store and, you know, purchase some supplies and some, you know, kind of things that we might need if we would have to be in the house for an extended period of time. And that was a wise move because, of course, now today, as we see, you know, all the reports with people not having access to toilet paper and things like this. Again, I think that whites will be practicing racism, hoarding materials and supplies. And hopefully we all can, with Black self-respect, help each other if we're in these situations where we have and others don't have, because it's looking a little bit scary out there right now, at least here in Virginia, where people do have no problem taking everything and leaving nothing for others. So there's that. Also, I received word just yesterday that theater tickets that I ordered for May, Broadway tickets, were canceled and refunded. So it looks like they're going to proceed with all these kinds of shutdown things, you know, social distancing, you know, small crowds for, I think, longer than 2 weeks, maybe even longer than 30 days. So be aware of that. And then just the last piece, you guys know that my employment situation has changed. So I've been spending a lot of time in the gym. And so, you know, that as a workplace, I'm curious, Gus, if you've seen any guidelines about yoga and what people are saying about that, because folks at my gym are very concerned about any kind of transmission of viruses. And, you know, I've actually been doing some more walking outside, trying to be in nature, because that I think is safe. That might be a safe place. So I'm just kind of curious what you've been experiencing. And with that, I will mute my line.
Wowzers. Much obliged for the updates. So from my personal practice, I have not been practicing in studios with anybody, white people or non-white people, since November. So when all of this hysteria hit, it really didn't impact my personal practice at all, because I haven't been practicing with white people. The racism is the epidemic that has caused me problems, not corona. So thankfully, I have just been watching all of this like, wow, I don't know how I would feel about being in that environment if, you know, if you think there's, you know, all of this is reasonable, right? If you think this is a legitimate thing, I just wouldn't be in all that touching, which is my stance anyway. Again, not because of the corona epidemic, because of the white supremacy epidemic. I'm not into the touching and all of that anyway. I think that has had a big impact on like yoga studios, gyms, period, because I have seen a lot of reporting on that, where people have exactly what you just said. Hey, I don't want to be, you know, in a gym and everybody is sweating and coughing and then I'm going on a machine, or we're in a yoga studio and you're getting an adjustment and you go touch, you know, Susan over here in this corner, and then you come over here and touch Roger over, like, oh, you know, I don't want to do any of that. So I have seen a lot of reports where people are either not going or looking for options where they can work out at home, or what you said, where they can just go hike by themselves, get out in the fresh air, that way you don't have to be worried about germs and all of that. If you think all of that is legit, that would be something to consider. If you work in that industry, I already have a no touch policy, so there wouldn't be a whole lot of adjustment in terms of me as instructor, me as practitioner. I don't practice publicly anyway. So yeah, but I have been watching. If I was still practicing publicly, I guess I would have to maybe think about that. If I, you know, think this is all reasonable, or, you know, if I want to practice at home for a little while, it would definitely give me pause until I had come to a better conclusion. I know some folks, they looked at all of this, them shutting down the NBA, they suspended the season, I think they said, for at least 30 days, they canceling outright the NCAA tournament, which the University of Virginia, the Coon Man's alma mater, won last year. So they will remain defending national champions. The Coon Man will be proud of that. But all of these things are unprecedented, to have all of this happening and closing schools. I've seen that. I think retired firefighter was talking about certain counties and what have you in Florida where it's been shut down. I mean, just extraordinary measures being taken, and suddenly the rapid pace, like they were talking about, I think they had reports, they were saying they were talking about playing some of the sporting contests with empty stadiums, and within 12 hours it went from that to, oh, just cancel everything. And these are like multi-billion dollar industries, and it was, oh yeah, just shut it down. Amazing to see all of that. All of that to say, if white people were really serious about the epidemic of white supremacy racism, their conduct would look similar. I think a non-Clemson grad making a similar point. The white woman is, hey, I'm suspicious. I don't know who might have the cooties, the coronavirus. I'm suspicious. I suspect everybody. Just using logic. They can respect that logic when employed that way. Just making an observation about how white people, when they're serious about solving problems, this is what it can look like when they get serious about solving, or at least giving the appearance that they're serious. I'll say it that way. When they want to give the appearance that they're serious about solving a problem, they get busy. And money will not be an excuse. I didn't hear anybody say, well, we're losing billions of dollars not having the March Madness tournament. And not one person said that. This is a serious problem. Public safety. We got to get, you know, this is important. There are more important things than money. And that was that. And unanimous. That was said in unison. There was not one dissenting voice. Man, not one person. Everybody. Yep. Right decision. Close down the city. Yep. Right decision. Excellent. Bravo. Donald Trump came out. State of emergency. National emergency. We're shutting down flights to Europe. What I heard was he should have done this 2 weeks ago. Unprecedented. Who says that? We getting ready for spring break and all that. We should have shut all this down weeks ago. He's an idiot. Voting for Bernie Sanders. 4 more years. And don't believe that. 4 more years. If they're serious about solving problems, they will get to it. Let's see. The person Oh, yikes. Let's see. Red in Ohio. If you have commentary to share, line should be open.
Hello, everyone. Hello. Thank you for taking my call. Four quick things. A couple of them are about how the coronavirus is affecting my current plantation. So the first thing, actually, I haven't been at my current plantation for too long, but recently just dealing with the refined racism of a white woman. And there are lots of white women at the plantation, and what I've noticed, which is different from my most recent, the last plantation that I spoke about, how the racism kind of seemed like it was more overt, like more overt jokes and things of that nature. Here, they're more, I guess you would say, friendly. They definitely, you know, will joke around with, like, some of the other victims. That's what I see. You know, a lot of them will say, you know, honey or baby, and they'll even go out to eat after work, stuff like that. I would never, you know, go ahead with any of that. But then what I notice is that, you know, all the joking that occurs as soon as, like, the person, you know, walks away, it could be two, as soon as they're out of earshot, they're talking about them. So it's, I feel like this plantation is definitely helping me to be more codified as far as not telling them anything that is unnecessary information. Definitely keeping everything very surface level. If they ask me, you know, what I did last night, nothing. You know, I cooked or whatever. Just, you know, very simple things like that. But I notice, even though, like, with mainly, because I mainly see the white women do this, even when they talk about, you know, they talk about everyone, but it still seems like they talk about each, they'll talk about each other, but it seems like it's more, I don't know, it's hard to describe, but you can, it still seems like, you know, they'll still have, like, the Voltron effect. I guess that's the only way that I can describe it. It's not, they won't go against each other if it comes down to something work related, which I don't have the confidence, no matter how friendly they are to another victim, that they won't say something negative about their work ability. So that's, I guess, part of the first thing. I had my first experience with someone kind of checking to make sure I was in the correct building recently. I guess I was too jovial that day. I wasn't, you know, I didn't feel as bad as, you know, the other days. You know, I guess the coronavirus really wasn't on my mind that particular day. And with the building that I'm in, it's a somewhat large building, and there's different businesses in the building. And the plantation that I work for currently, it has different parts of the building, but it's not all one, it's not all in one cluster. So some parts are open to the other businesses, other parts are just open to the plantation that I work for, and, you know, so on and so forth. So I was going over to a different area that I don't work in directly, but I still have access to, and this white woman, I wasn't really walking that fast, but this white woman, she decided, you know, she looked back at me, you know, and I just, you know, kept, you know, looked straight forward, didn't really bother to smile at her or anything like that, but she decides to scan her badge, open up the door, and I thought she was just, you know, going to go ahead and go because I wasn't that close to her, but she turns around again. I know she saw my badge. The badge has my face on it and the company that I work for, meaning that, you know, I'm able to access that part of the building. So she decides to hold the door open. So I'm about to just, you know, go right through. She's like, oh, no, you forgot to scan your badge. And I've seen whites and hold a door open for each other. No one makes sure that the badge works or whatever. So in that instant, I had to remember my facial expression and not kind of give it away, like my, like, disgust with, you know, her just basically just trying to practice racism against me as they do. And I feel like she saw that because in that next instant, she was like, that's when she felt like she needed to introduce herself to me. I don't work with this individual. I haven't seen her since, and I haven't seen her before that whole incident. But she introduces herself to me, and she holds out her hand for me to shake it. So at that point, I shake her hand, but I always hate shaking people's hands, whether it's, you know, now or, you know, before, whatever. And she tries to kind of, like, have some type of conversation. And this is all while I'm, you know, trying to just go about my business. And I also had in my headphones, which I noticed that whites, they don't care if you have in your headphones or not. They still feel like they need to hold a conversation with you. So that happened. I'm glad I don't, you know, have any, I'm glad I haven't seen her again, because I don't even, would have to really work on having like my little fake smile or whatever, my codified, greeting towards her. And the last thing I'll talk about is how the coronavirus has affected my current plantation. So Ohio has been one of the states that has declared that they're closing school early. Now in some of the smaller towns, especially the ones like, if anyone remembers the book, what was that book? Sundown Towns, and how the author, he talked about all the different little all white on purpose towns. Some of them in Ohio, those towns, they actually closed schools early today, starting today for 3 weeks. And then the larger, cities, they start on Monday and they'll be closed for 3 weeks. So, they sent out an email about, possibly having work at home positions, only for certain departments. I've actually heard not just for the plantation that I work for, but, from other victims at their plantations, that's also something that they're trying to implement as well or offer. And at my plantation, they actually took everyone one by one. And this is in the area that I work in, and it has a couple hundred people, but, they one by one took everybody into like a little conference room and spoke with the manager of each area and like a supervisor and asked the person, you know, if they're going to have some type of special accommodation, because of the whole, school being out. And, a victim, when I was in the room and they were asking me the questions, another victim had came into the conference area, and I had spoken to the victim before. So I wasn't, you know, bothered by her, you know, kind of interrupting my little meeting or whatever, but she was asking, well, if she had to, you know, be off because her child is now going to be out of school, would that take away from her vacation? And the manager, who was a white woman, she said, yes, you know, there's, you know, you're going to have to, you know, basically, you know, choose. And the victim was like, well, you know, what about, you know, my vacation and stuff like that? Can I just take it unpaid? And it was kind of like the false sincerity that the white woman was showing the victim and, you know, with her questioning, like, is there anything else that they can do? Could the white woman ask that maybe her managers or whatever, if there's anything like they can make an exception? And it was just like the white woman was just not really listening. And I guess the last thing was also about, there was a lot of like joking about, you know, the virus. But I, you know, I try to just, you know, still keep to myself when it comes to that. I forgot what else I was going to say though. I guess I'll leave it there. Thank you for allowing me to share.
Much obliged, Red in Ohio. The jokes in the workplace about Corona, same thing. Not here for jokes. I wouldn't participate. I would just make note of that. Might even be one that you could think of, you know, a question to attach, because, I mean, they're talking like we should be. I mean, if we can't get toilet paper at the store, then, I mean, wow, we should be serious. No toilet paper is no laughing matter. The vacate. Now, see, that sort of thing, that is significant in my view. Now, if this is all serious and they're talking about revamping and allowing for paid sick leave and work from home and all of this, then we heard from all these folks in different states, different locations, even some outside the U.S. They're closing schools and shutting down universities and what have you. I'm a parent. If I have to go and get my child, help them move, or, you know, be at home with them for a day or two just for supervising purposes or whatever it is, you know, that's not covered. I got to lose my vacation time. Yep. Sorry. It's tough. We all got to make sacrifices. We don't have no exception. Like, that's just it. Like, I just got to lose my vacation. Like, yep. Sorry. Yep. I thought we were a family. Isn't that what they say? Like, I thought it's not a family. And we look at it. That's one of those also where I think Mr. Fuller and others have talked about, if you know about the history of the company, where they have made exceptions before in other situations where, you know, somebody had a family emergency or whatever, where they didn't have to lose their vacation time, or maybe they were allowed to use their vacation time here. And then when vacation came up, they, you know, could take that unpaid, you know, as was suggested or what have you. That can be outstanding if you have that extra information so that you can just bring that up by comparison to see why, you know, that discretion is not being used in your favor, especially if this is a global episode. I mean, this is not just you having some little personal tribulation in your life. This is the whole planet in peril. That's what they said. No toilet paper. Let's see. The gossiping. That's just like with the jokes, same category. Just getting that reputation for being serious in the workplace. I'm here about business, and that's it. I'm not here to chat about people's wardrobes and, you know, who's sleeping around with this person and, oh, their hair is tacky and all the rest of it. I'm not participating at all. I think that that's phenomenal that was a mnemonic of sorts for you, meaning something to help you remember, like, oh, yeah, I am not going to be talking to them about nothing because as soon as I step up to leave, they're like, did you hear what she was doing last night? Did you see what she like? Come on. Like, I'm not participating in any of that. And if you do participate, that at minimum, you should be thinking, man, I wonder what they're saying about me when I'm not there. Like, at minimum, you already know that's happening because you sit there. If you're participating in it, you hear them talk about everybody. And generally, in those circles, nobody is off limits unless they're present. So you know that they're going to be talking about you. So just do not participate in any of that. And then, too, when you participate in it, when the joking gossip becomes racist, it's going to be, well, you know, we joke around. We're family. See, that's the don't come back. We're family. We just, you know, we horse around. And you've been, you know, joking around with us. We thought, you know, it was just good natured fun, a little tomfoolery. Do not participate in the gossip at all. Let's see. Much obliged, Red in Ohio. Let me get in another one of the emails, and then we'll check in, see if other folks, make sure we didn't miss anybody, if other folks have suggestions, comments on what's been shared. Black female who wrote in, she says, it's been an irritating week on the plantation, aren't they all? March especially. See, they set the clocks back this week. Make sure I get that in. They set the clocks back. That has been my experience. We are very sensitive. They kind of desensitize us to so much that a lot of times we just don't realize the impact that even small things like setting that clock forward an hour. For a lot of people, that might mean you lost an hour of sleep, or at least it feels like you lost an hour of sleep. Feels like you're trying to catch up. That right there, I know that's been my experience. March in general is a very unpleasant month. You got the transition with the seasons and everything is getting warming and all of that. And then the clocks, time changing, all that, like, oof, super irritating week on the plantation. Number one, I was copied in on an email this week. I looked through the email chain and noticed some codified and unjust communication about my work. Uh-oh. The person who sent the email, who does not have any expertise on the issue, was implying my work was not up to scratch, which is not the case. There was a level of codification in the language used, which was interesting and informative. I decided not to react and to wait to see how my manager responded to me. Everything has been fine thus far. Control of emotions, critically important in the workplace. Love it. Number two, I've recently started working with a racist suspect female who likes to touch me. Coronavirus, man. Everybody keep your paws to yourself. Not doing the, what they call it, the Wuhan shake. Not rubbing elbows, not rubbing toes. Keep all of your appendages to yourself. I've made a point of moving whatever body part she is reaching to touch, and I can tell from her facial reactions she is aware of the fact that I don't want to touch her. However, she crept a seat. However, she crept up on me at the end of the meeting and touched me on the back, which I believe was a deliberate attempt to annoy me. I thought she was going to say deliberate act of racism. That's what that is. The next time she tries to touch me, I will be direct with her and invoke my coronavirus rule. That's it. That Walter Beach the Third. And I can pause. I just emailed her. One of our cows listeners. She's an investor. She called in for months. We didn't even have workplace racism at the time. She was just listening on the phone. She just dialed in days ago this week. She called in for months talking about a white woman. She had told her, I am a mother. It was, what was it back then? They had, you can take your pick, Ebola. This might have been a little bit before Zika. Definitely Ebola, though. She says, I'm a parent. I do not want to give my child anything. I cannot afford to get sick and then go home and get my child sick or anything like that, or my husband, anything else. I do not want to do any of the hugging in the workplace. And this white woman did the exact same thing. From that point forward, it became like 007. And, you know, I'm going to get on my tiptoes and wait. Show how stealthy I can be. Wait till you're on the phone. You got your back turned, and then leap out and bear hug. Oh, I just love you so much. And this went on and on. And where she had already said, hey, stop touching me. Do not do that. I do not, very clear, not cursing. This is a professional environment. We're not working at a whorehouse. What are you doing? And then it was, oh yeah, I'm going to do it. Oh yeah, I'm gonna wait till you get on the phone. And I just want to love on you. All of that is deliberate racism, and it's sexual abuse. I spoke with Mr. Fuller about that one at the time, and he said, oh, no, the first time that would stop. Walter Beach cut that at the knees. He said it would be total leap up. Do not ever do that again. Snatch away. We will be going to human resources or whatever it is. That, and I would use the term that is sexual molestation. Use language, not, you know, I don't want to be tired of sexual molestation. We will Bill Cosby our way to human resources. Do not ever do that again. I said they escalate. Cut it at the knees. That behavior escalates when you do not check that immediately. We've seen that pattern before, the sneaking up and all of that. And sometimes it'll just be they'll massage your shoulder. It won't be the full, you know, bear hug type thing. They'll just come up and do the shoulder rub type thing. All of that. Stop. I wouldn't even have to say corona for that. Do not ever touch me again. And that's when, if you need to practice your language at home, practice, get in front of the mirror. Emmy, she talked about that. You can practice, and then the body language as well, snatching away, whatever it is, but stop that immediately. You do not want to have this go on and be your 2020 having being fondled by a white woman in the workplace. We got that in the archives, because that's what will happen. This will just go on and on and on. Number three, went to a meeting with my boss. There were several people we had not met before, so introductions took place. I was ignored as if I was not present, to be expected. Number four, a few years ago, my sister moved to an area that is predominantly white with her then racist, predominantly white with her then racist suspect male partner. She was a teacher who taught mainly 14 to 16 year olds. She attempted to actually educate them and accurately grade their ability level. Up until that point, they had been given the impression they were performing at a higher level. Clearly, they were going to be unhappy. The young racists banded together and got their parents involved. The school did not dispute my sister's assessment of their ability, but nonetheless backed the children and their parents. She was steadily harassed by the children who would misbehave in her lessons, and she faced a higher level of scrutiny by management despite the fact that she did not do anything wrong. In the end, she left the school and teaching. Wow. Being a black educator. Bravo. Bravo. Racist man, racist woman, racist child. That's generally the way that it is said on this program. It has been said for years. Kamisha M. Africa, I think, started that one, said they cannot be left out. They are not ignorant about racism, white supremacy. And look at this skill. Got unjust networking at the teenage level. Haven't even graduated high school, and they have mastered, got a PhD in unjust networking. We are going to get this here nigra fired, or we are going to pluck her nerves until she resigns. Now, let's band together here. We'll get together at lunch just after recess, and we'll coordinate our efforts. And we'll get our parents involved. Unjust networking, PhD by the 14-year-old whites. We know more about white supremacy rate. And then they'll come back at 25, 35, 45 and say, oh, man, I sure am ignorant about racism. Man, I'm as ignorant as a coon. I don't know anything about it. You got any remedial resources on racism? I sure would like to study it because I'm just as ignorant as can be. Get out of here. Tragic arrangement, I'm sure, did not help in this situation at all. Let's see. Anything else I want to get on that one? The ignoring is standard. We've had so many folks who commented on that being ignored in the meeting, and then they'll say it was your fault because you didn't speak up. Classic. The number again, 605-313-5164. The code 564-943-pound. Press star 61 if you would like to participate. Other folks, we have...
Hello, testing 123.
123, Irie.
Hi, how you doing?
Right, poorly.
I just wanted to make sure my volume was good. Sorry to hear that. But we march on. I'm just tuning in, and I'm sorry that I can't really add any commentary or help with any of the situations because I didn't hear them, but I think this will be helpful. School is closed, you know, and as people that listen regularly know, I substitute, so this is affecting me in an adverse way because I'm not a district employee, so I'm not entitled to, you know, any type of salary or compensation to sustain me while school is out for a month and a half. But what I did find out is several, you know, financial institutions are offering like month extensions on car notes, mortgages. So I just wanted to encourage Kyle's listeners, if you're in the same situation as me, where, you know, you work in education temporaneously and you're not going to be able to do so, do call in to whoever you have reoccurring debts with and ask them what's the process for, you know, this extension, if they have any. And, you know, that's all. And I hope everyone has a good weekend. And, Gus, please send me your address. Because I think I emailed you. I might not have. I was kind of busy. But send me your address that I can send those items off to you, those bookmarks. And I'll mute my line. Thank you.
Absolutely. The address. I want the bookmarks to take to Toronto. Yes. Gift bag. That would be awesome. Address. Thank you for reminding me. We do have a lot of educators. I just read the email. Well, she said her sister, but still. We have a lot of educators who listen to the program. So, yeah, if we have other folks who... If I know a lot of schools have been closed, or it certainly has impacted policy and procedure in terms of how the rest of the 2019-2020 academic year will conclude. I think for a lot of folks, you probably have about a quarter of the school year left, maybe for some people a little bit more, but about at least a quarter to a third of the school year remaining at this point. So, yeah, if we have folks on how this is, you know, disrupting the last portion of your teaching year, how you're teaching, how you're dealing with students, how this, you know, might have impacted policy and procedure, any of that, definitely share. It's unprecedented in many circles. Again, this would be another reason to be very frugal about whatever income you might make, because things can be destabilized in a system of racism so quickly. You just never know. Unexpected things are designed to happen. So, yeah, be frugal. We do not want to be folks that are about binge spending. And I'm going to go on Amazon and buy up, you know, everything that I can, and just doing a lot of unnecessary spending. Be frugal. Be frugal. Let's see. Make sure we're not missing folks. Other folks who dialed in, if you have a hand up, if we missed you totally, feel free to chime in.
Well, may I be heard?
Caller in Florida. Yes, sir.
Yes, sir. Thank you very much, sir. Greetings to Gus, the host, the listeners, and callers. I wanted to share some incident reports from the last couple of days. This first one was from our recent meeting, and I wanted to start out with the body language of the warden. I'm detecting that a lot of nervousness was going on. She just kept turning around, like looking from side to side and things like that. And I noticed that they, I suspect, were practicing some racial showcasing, the black female. And she apparently, I believe I shared, she wasn't getting her checklist to her next level. But apparently she's been getting a house built, and they've been putting the updates to this in the newsletter. And in this previous meeting, the warden was asking her questions like, oh, well, how's the construction coming along? And she says, well, we've been getting some of the walls up, and we're getting some of the doors put in. And she asked her, well, what's the date on when you can expect it to be done or something? And she was saying around May or June. So I'm like, this is, it must be some real ferocious racism going on, because clearly they don't really care about black people. So the black male says, oh, well, in our next supervisor meeting, we're going to arrange for us to, get some volunteers to go help her out. So I'm like, they've never done this. So my next one is, when I got in on Monday, I wanted to first ask about the emails, and it's going to be like a process, because I'm trying to get some dates figured out. So I asked the person in IT, the manager, and then he directed me to my supervisor, and then she directed me to the legal counsel. So I asked her, what's the process with trying to request, do a public records request. And she said that, of course I would have to provide dates and the information. And in terms of the fees, she was saying something about a $50 per hour fee thing, but I'm still doing the research on that. And I've been reading through the public records procedure policy to see if there's some contradictions, because especially with dealing with attorneys and legal language and lexicon that they use, you have to be very careful. So I'm still in the process about that. And their behavior has changed. Once the Monday when I sent that email, I can tell by the end of Monday, the behaviors had changed again. And then when I had came in on that Wednesday, the attorney was like, wow, does this happen very often? Because I said we didn't get our mail in. And so, you know, they were all giggling and laughing, but it was phony laughter. So, but that's the email update so far. My next one is there was a highly inappropriate post on one of the Click members' Facebook page. It was an image of a male person. I don't think it wasn't a black person. It was just a non-white male at a urinal, okay, with his pants down. And the caption said, these are the kind of guys girls fight each other over. And the black female in the department responds to it saying, oh, he looks like he don't even like girls. My next one is there was a few of the coronavirus related conversations going on. This first one was the guy that I heard that was involved with the Masons. He says, you know what? I'm going to tell you my point of view. I think that, you know, a lot of people are going to get it. And he said, I just feel sorry for the older people, but you know, we just have so many people in the world. You know, we have a population issue. He went to use that word, population. So codification, of course, he's talking about non-white people. Okay, so, you know, we just have too many people in the world. So and he just kept using the phrase, I hate to say it like that, but or I hate to put it that way, to make it seem like he has some humanity. Or he has some sense of morality. I'm like, no, I already know where he's coming from. All right. So that was one interaction I had with that. And then my next one is there was a race soldier in uniform, literally. He was coming to get water or whatever, or something to drink. And the two black female coworkers of mine, they were watching a video from the cell phone. I guess it was from like a church service or something, some singing. So he walks by and he says, I turn that off. So I don't know if they heard him, but after he walks past me, he says, get rid of that coronavirus. And he walks out through the door. So I'm like, huh, I wonder what that meant. So I sent myself an email and I number it every time and I date it and I put the name down of whoever the person is. All right. And I got tons of them. So that one occurred. And I have one more. I walked past a white person's desk. I don't know if anyone's done this before, but they had a white rodent, like I said, wow, is this this an albino rat? So the white woman says, oh, no, this is a mouse. And he said, why would you say that? And I said, well, that's what they look like, right? I just said, just missing the red eyes. So I said, oh, well, just because it's white, that doesn't mean it's albino, you know. Mice are white. I said, no, that's not true. There's some gray mice, right? Gray mice, right? Brown or whatever. So that was an interesting interaction right there. Cause this person is said some things, but actually I had one more, if I could just share really quick today. And this is with that emotional reaction pattern recognition, because, the white man who is the lead worker, I heard him get up and say, oh, you know, just go on a break, go on a break. You know, you're a little upset. And so I can hear the black female getting angry. So I went to go try and go to the other black female that I speak with. By the time I got over there, she had already left that area. So she was going to check on her. So she was, you know, you can just hear her just almost becoming loud and increasing her tone. So I go around the other area, and then she's coming out crying and breathing hard, breathing in and out, and tears streaming down her cheek. And she was like, well, you know, let's go on outside. Let's go on outside and talk. So everybody's watching them walk outside, and I open the door for them. So I still don't know right now what happened with that. But I think someone definitely strategically tried to get her upset and angry. So I'm going to look in to see if I can get an update on that. And that's all I have for now. Thanks for allowing me to share.
Much obliged, caller in Florida. Hope she is all right. I put that in the description every week, managing our emotions while at work, because that's, I mean, it's just constant where they'll be doing things to upset us, making, you know, little snide remarks and things of that nature. I mean, it's just, it's constant. And they can do, sometimes they'll just do these little things on a regular, sometimes it'll be they mispronounce your name or they spell your name incorrectly, much less, you know, if it gets to things like B's talking about where you got wage discrepancy, where you come in, your check is $400 short, where this is happening regularly, where your check is incorrect and you got to go and squabble about that and get that correct. With just all of these things, it just happens over and over and over. And it could just be you've had all this stress. We had all these people. You got panic about this. You couldn't get toilet paper. Your child's school was closed. You got to go and try and, you know, organize to help them out. You're coming in on a job. We're not giving out sick pay. You know, you're not full-time employees. You're not, you got all that. And all it takes is one white person on that day. You've had all of this stuff piling up on you to have one white person come up on that day. And that's the day that they want to come with their goofy racist joke. Get rid of that coronavirus or whatever else. And whammo. You're upset and all that. So I say, really be mindful of that. If you feel like, you know, my patience is waning, I'm just not where I should be, that is a day you want to be especially careful. Always know that you can always go to the bathroom. If other folks can get up and take 20 smoke breaks per day and lollygag for 45 minutes getting lung cancer, you can always get up and go to the restroom. You can say, hey, I don't have a teaspoon of Corona, but I went to Taco Bell yesterday or whatever. They know you're vegan, plant-based. Well, I had, you know, veggie burritos yesterday, and it just has not set well on my stomach. I think it was something wrong with the salsa, but it has just kept me in the restroom. I'm gonna run to the bathroom really quick and just take some time and breathe. You can get outside, whatever you need to do, but get more time. Get space, breathe. Once you see that I'm being loud in my responses, as we talked about, I'm talking loud, I'm breathing faster, I am going to step away. I can feel I'm about to curse somebody, because, I mean, it can happen to the best of us. It's happened to me, anybody. You recognize. That's what I try to encourage. Recognize. That's why I say try to see if you can get to your job about 15 minutes early, so that if you drive there, you can sit in your car for 15 minutes. If you take public transportation, or if you get dropped off, you walk, whatever it is, if there's a park or someplace where you can just find some solitude before you go in, you can do a physical scan, you can do a mental scan. How am I feeling today? Is my patience, where is my patience at? Am I feeling, you know, more irritated than normal? Am I feeling like, man, whew, today they got one time to say something and I am going to wig out. If that is the case, then I already know, okay, I'm going to need to maybe take more breaks today. I'm going to need to step away. I'm going to have to schedule to come outside, you know, get 5 minutes to just breathe, do some breathing exercises. It's going to be all about calm today. I'm not going to be able to respond. Maybe anything happens today, I don't respond at all, because I know I'm going to wig out. I'll just have to write it down and I can think about it and come back and address that tomorrow, which can be done for anything, unless it's like, you know, I'm about to be sexually assaulted or something.
But that is super important, because a lot of times they will plan to do that. A lot of times we had a number of callers talk about observing the body language of people that they work around and seeing it change. Well, they do the same thing. They check out our body language. They go, oh, yeah, looks like that coon is really upset today. We've probably been going to work less. All right, so we'll strategize and we'll do this. We even had a call in Florida. He said one time race soldier came in and put the television on Fox News and took the batteries out of it. Said, oh, yeah, I'll fix that coon. We're going to listen to Bill Riley all day today. Let him go in there and try and change the channel. That's the type of mentality that you have. Emotional control, super important. Black self-respect, if you're able to, you know, check in with her down the road and see how she's doing, that'd be great. But yeah, all of that is by design. And when they can't do that, look out for your water. Let's see the rest of it. I think the white mice is an albino mouse. I could be an error on that one, but I think they are one and the same. I think they do have mice that are not white, brown, whatever color. I think some folks have talked about that before, that it seems that racists, they just have an affinity for picking the albino mice when it's time to do their studies. Maybe there's some sort of, you know, affinity, lack of melanin. I don't know. But that even, why do you have a rodent in the courthouse? Like those type of irregularities, like why can't we keep the rodents at home? I thought we, don't they bring pest control to the courthouse? We're trying to make sure that we don't have rodents and vermin all in the courthouse. Who wants to come up trying to get my passport photo, my marriage license, and you got a rodent hanging, like trying to get rid of corona and you're bringing vermin in? Let's see. With the emails, and they, you go in, you're trying to get information. They say, oh yeah, you got to go talk to Rhonda. You go talk to her. Oh yeah, you got to go talk to Theodore. He'll be able to help you with that. You go to Theodore. And say, oh yeah, if you go talk to Nelson, I think that right there is extraordinarily suspicious. That sort of misconduct, generally. White people, when it's time to solve a problem, it's one person. This is the one person that will solve your problem. You go talk to them and boom. Not you go talk to, what is it? The email? Oh, Richard, do you know? Yeah, just, and they just keep passing you and keep time and energy. That's what I said with B. That should always stand out. When it's not efficient, where there's a problem, or I'm just trying to get information and this is not happening efficiently, where we got to go through an audit for me to get my change, where you're trying to steal my money from me, now I got to go talk to 50,000 people about these emails. Particularly when you notice a change in behavior, people that were not necessarily friendly to you before, they can't even remember your name, and now all of a sudden they got strange behavior around you, like it might have been some unjust networking and you were the subject of it. Like, uh-oh, this coon is asking more questions. Gotta be cautious. We might have to, you know, just keep sending him along. Keep that nigger running. That's invisible man. Just keep him running. Just keep him running. Just tell him to go to the next person. I don't know. Maybe we'll waste a good hour and then we'll come up with something. We'll get the squad and the clique, excuse me. We'll get together and we'll come up with the next plan, but we'll just keep him running for the time being. Man, we got to get to, maybe we can give him the coronavirus and we'll cancel the courthouse for a weekend. That'll give us a little bit more time. Pay attention to that when they start scheming and behavior changes because of you. I think other victims have noted that too, where they didn't have a powerful position. It's not like they got promoted and they were in charge of hiring or they could impact somebody's raise. All they did was start to ask questions, follow logic, and that changed everything. Everybody is walking on pins and needles. Oh, how you doing today? So everything okay? Can I bring you some coffee? Donuts? Okay. Hand sanitizer. We stole some, but I can bring it for you. All of that. Wow. Just because I'm following logic and asking questions. I'll do more of that. Let's see. The tacky, I didn't understand that either with the corona thing. I would just, you know, do the email like you did. Put that in the journal. I would expect that sort of tackiness, whites coming in and making those sort of wisecracks and all of that. do not participate. I would just make a note of it. If that transfers to them doing it to other people, I still wouldn't participate or what have you, but I would just make note if I'm the only one that's being singled out for corona humor, and or if this is just going to be office be widespread throughout the office in terms of people making fun about doing the same thing that Rudy Gobert was doing, making jokes about the so-called coronavirus. And then just highlight that again, this is at the courthouse to have this sort of annex. These folks are doing pranks and stuff like they're in middle school. He had the fella who came in the car and played like he was going to run him down with the vehicle. We got folks who are keeping rats as pets. I mean, it's the courthouse, I thought. Like, how serious are we taking this job? Like, we got records that are supposed to be filed here and criminal behavior. We got people coming down and they're filing, I want to get a restraining order and I got to go talk to the woman with a rat for a pet on the deck. Like, Florida, man. Florida. Let's see. Other folks, if we missed you totally, you should not wait. We got about 15 minutes left in the broadcast, so if we have not heard from you at all, you should definitely speak up right now. Anybody that we missed completely? Grand. I'll assume that we nabbed everybody. If folks have additional comments, observations they would like to share, again, we have about 15 minutes left in the broadcast. If you have suggestions, other problems you would like to help get some processing done, feel free. Speak up. About 15 left. Everybody satisfied? Got everything they needed to get out this week? I'll check in once more, but we'll be here tomorrow for the compensatory call-in, 9 p.m. Eastern, 6 p.m. Pacific. I'm sure we'll have a thought or two on Corona then as well. You can email for information. Toronto Retreat sold out, should be there, looking forward, end of May. The Washington, D.C. Retreat, August 5 through the 9th. Folks have already started to register. Looking forward to hanging out in the nation's capital 5 days, 4 nights. We added an extra day just to have a bit more time to frolic in summertime DC. If you have questions, would like more information, things are not adequately explained on the blog, drop an email, untiljustice@gmail.com. Again, I would absolutely take advantage. Anybody, if you were a little hesitant about adjusting your code, say, hey, I just do not want to do touching in the workplace. White people, non-white people. I'm not here to do a lot of fondling. Let's get our work done. Be professional. Be courteous. We don't need to, you know, rub each other down and all that. Take advantage. And this would be permanent. In terms of Corona, I don't do that, you know, handshaking and all that. Like I said, I wouldn't do the elbow rub either. And that just makes it so much easier. Then when the people want to do that sneaking up and rubbing and all that, I don't even do handshakes. What are you talking about? Sneaking up behind me and giving a hug and all that, like sexual molestation, make it plain. But absolutely, I would take advantage of this. In the HR departments, I suspect everybody will co-sign on this one. I cannot imagine somebody saying, oh, this person had concerns about Corona and didn't want to do handshakes. I cannot imagine somebody coming and saying, oh, that's, you know, ridiculous, hogwash, and you're going to be fired. We are mandated to do hugs and, you know, kisses and all the rest of it. Handshakes, that is required by policy here. Even if you get Corona and the cooties and the flu and all the rest of it, so be it. I don't think so. Nationally, that's what our president just said. State of emergency. No handshake. That's the hashtag. That would be permanent code. Any other folks, observations, questions, thoughts they wanted to make sure they get in? Oh, the person at 0750.
I'm not going to share a good evening to everyone. I'm not going to share a full report. I just wanted to mention one thing since it's coming to the end of the program. If anyone else has heard the term social distancing being used a lot around the coronavirus,
I just found it to be very useful. In general, I'm a person who kind of sticks to myself anyway, and I've been working in the same field for over a decade. And sometimes people can take that as being antisocial. And in the past, as a newer worker, I would feel obligated to be social, and that has sort of waned. Now, if I'm perceived as antisocial, that's fine, as long as I'm perceived also as being professional, I don't care. But this term social distancing has been very helpful, because usually when I might feel obligated to share a word with someone, now I can just say social distancing in kind of a joking way, and the other person will kind of nod and smile, and that's the end of the interaction. I can go about my business. So I just wanted to ask if anyone else had heard this term being used and, you know, thought that it would be a useful addition to codification.
Oh, I love it.
Can I be heard?
Yes, sir, Victor, victim. Just mm-hmm. wanted to say really quick, I have heard that term. Okay. I do think it's extremely effective. Can be extremely useful in just saying that exactly what you just said, to end interactions, especially those nonsense interactions, because so many of those happen in the workplace that are not work related at all. Social, same thing, corona, social distancing, you don't, and it doesn't require any explanation at all, because this has been so sudden, it's in the lexicon. Absolutely. Words are important and can be extremely efficiently impactful. I love those efficient ones where you don't have to talk for 5 minutes, 20 minutes. Social distancing, everything moves. Beautiful. Victim, yes.
Hi. I wanted to add, I haven't heard the word social distancing, but I've heard the term microaggressions being used a lot. I don't really know what does that mean.
Mm-hmm. Did anyone else have social distancing? Is that word being used in the workplace? Same effect would be a
I've heard it more around in terms of the coronavirus specifically, like as a, when they were discussing, well, how are we going to combat this? Oh, simple things like washing hands and such and such. They also said another way to combat it on a large scale is social distancing, keeping, I think, 6 feet apart. Like, they're very specific with the term, as I've been hearing it. 6 feet apart from one another, not going to areas where you're going to be in a crowd. I think crowds of more than 20 is discouraged. Social distancing. So, like, I just used it today kind of as a joke. Like, if I saw someone in the hallway, instead of feeling like I needed to stop and exchange, you know, pleasantries, I just said social distancing. And the person, I did it more than once, and I would just get a nod and a smile, and I could go about my business. And it was, I'm going to see if I could still use it after the whole corona scare if we survive, but I found it to be useful.
Absolutely. I've heard that term used a lot. I've even heard it used in the work context, because they've talked about all these businesses shutting down, and they've said that they've encouraged, whether it's students, because they talked about the colleges shutting down too, and that's what they've been saying. Social distancing. We've been telling folks, don't be hanging out. We're doing, you know, work from home and all that. Just get your work done. Don't be hanging out with a lot of people. And that's the same thing that you just said. So, yeah, I think it's used enough. That efficiency. You don't have to do a whole lot of talking. If that was your workplace experiment for the day, well, then A+ for you. That is outstanding. I suspect after all of this panic calms, you could probably get away with just substituting and saying corona. And, you know, that'll probably work for the same thing. And you could just add corona, you know, social distancing, still traumatized by all that. And it'll probably work for a while. I would think at least for a good year, that depending, because we don't know how long this could be. We don't know what the summer's going to look like and all that. But I think you'll be able to use that for a while, to the point where that could be a permanent adjustment to workplace codification. If you want to, you know, minimize those sort of little tacky hallway chit chats, water cooler type conversation. Oh yeah, social distancing. Got it. Be like, oh yeah, yeah, yeah. Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Outstanding one. Anybody else thoughts on that? Grant, last few moments, anything else? Or folks, everybody satisfied for the day? Corona took all our energy. Grant, I'll assume folks are satisfied. We will be here tomorrow, review what happened. They mentioned the Coon man. They said Lieutenant Governor Justin Fairfax is plotting a comeback in his next political moves. This time last year, the Coon man went from being in trouble and he's got to resign to he's fine and dandy. And, you know, UVA is on its way to being national champions. And Lieutenant Governor Justin Fairfax, black male, you're the one that's got to resign. You're a rapist. You're the one that's been going around sexually molesting females. You're the one. You can't be governor. In fact, you can't be anything. You need to get out of here. They said he's plotting his resurrect his career. But that's tomorrow. Compensatory call in. What a year. Wow. We'll review that and other incidents, what has taken place on the plantation globally. It has been just an amazing week. Absolutely stunning to observe how quickly white people can get things done when they really want to. When they say something is serious, if that means we got to close schools, if that means somebody has to lose $1 billion, so be it. We say that this is serious. These things have to happen. They can make it happen. If they wanted to end the system of white supremacy racism, they could make that happen as well. Again, this is what they want. With that, much obliged for everyone's participation. Hope it has been worthy of your Friday evening. I hope everyone, if you think there is something to fear, hope everyone remains safe, taking care of you, family, folks that you are concerned about. If you are of the opinion that this is racist deception of some sort, well, stay safe, stay informed, and I hope you are not unnecessarily inconvenienced with the work stoppages and travel delays and that sort of thing, absence of toilet paper in some instances. I hope this does not rob you of any more time and energy. With that, sobriety would be best under conditions of white supremacy. Keep our brain computers functioning at an optimal level. Lots to think about and process with all this going on, so definitely want to be thinking well. In addition to being sober, let's be buckled up every time we are in a vehicle, passenger or driver. In addition to being sober, buckled, if you are behind the wheel, you are not on the cell phone at all. Just trying to do the little things that to help keep us as safe as possible under conditions of racism, white supremacy. That said, Creator, we ask that you help us remain patient with other black people, victims of white supremacy. We ask that you help us remain patient with ourselves. Remind us to demonstrate the highest levels of black self-respect at all times, in all places, each and every time we are in contact with another black person. It has been time to replace white supremacy with justice immediately. Social distancing. I love it. Cal signing out. Thanks all for tuning in.
Nigga, you so brainwashed.
I'm a victim,
your
brother.
Problem. You're a victim.
Shut I'm a up. Victim of 400 years of conditioning.
Shut up.
The man has programmed my condition.
Mm-hmm.
Even my conditioning has been conditioned.